I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And we're a gay.
And his NB.
Episode number 98. Thank you all so much for listening to another episode of A Gay and His NB, a podcast where we talk about all things that we're watching on TV this week. We have great content ahead of you in this episode. But before we get to any of that, we have a few housekeeping notes that we always have to get out of the way first.
Wherever it is that you're listening to us, whether that is Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or one of the other lovely podcast platforms out there, we'd love for you to head over and give us a rating and a review. That helps us get into the algorithm so that we can find more lovely listeners like yourselves, and we want to hear back from you. We want to hear what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, and what you want to hear from us in the future.
You can also follow us on social media on all platforms. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, all at A Gay and His NB, where we're posting new content every day, including clips from the podcast and some of our instant thoughts about the things that we are watching. If you want an extra dose of A Gay and His NB in your life and some of our, you know, everything that's going on in our brain when we first think about it, that's the great place to find it, all on social media at A Gay and His NB.
And if you'd love to support us, give us money. We love money. Money is lovely. You can do that at againisnb.threadless.com. Yes, that's right. You can purchase some of our merch over there. We have, 8, 9, 10 designs for merch over there, three of which are specifically Pride designs. You know, we're coming up on Pride Month. Pride Munch. A lot of that happens during Pride Month.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you could wear a Gay and His NB shirt while you're getting down on Pride.
Okay.
But, you know, like leading up to Pride Month, you know, you got to order your things early so that they come in time so you can wear them to your parades, to your parties, whatever. And you can do that at againisnb.threadless.com.
And last but not least, if you have any questions for us that you would like us to answer on a future episode of the podcast, you can be sure to submit that to us across the social media platforms that I mentioned or at againisnb@gmail.com. Just be sure in that to leave your name, leave your question, and who knows, we may answer it on a future episode of the podcast. Babe, what are we talking about on this week's episode?
We are talking about a lot of water over at Vanderpump Rules, whether that's drinking water or swimming in the water or whatever the water. Over on Vanderpump Rules, water under the bridge, maybe?
Nope.
No water under the bridge? Nope. We're still very much in the midst of all the bullshit of Scandoval and the fallout from that. But, that's what we kind of expected all season here. We're also going to be talking about The Valley.
The Valley's good.
It's so good. It's so good. But before we even get to any of that, we have another great show that came on this week in the Vanderpump arena.
Yeah, this is a Vanderpump centric episode of Gay and His NB.
Vanderpump Villa.
I was like trepidatious, and like I was telling Merlin, I was like, we'll watch it. Like, you know, maybe we'll review it week by week, depending. But, like, I wasn't, like, excited for it necessarily in the build-up. We're going to be reviewing it every week.
It's good.
It's good, but I have questions.
It is very, it's giving me more Below Deck.
It's like Below Deck meets, like, some, like, I don't know a comparison, but it's like a motivational show with like Lisa is, I think Lisa is prepping if Vanderpump dies after this season,
honestly,
or even if it doesn't, because like, I think Lisa has missed being God.
Central. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Being the one that everyone fears and everyone goes to, and you have to impress, and you have to like, because there's no stuff in the restaurant anymore. There's no like, any of that. Lisa kind of, in many ways, feels out of place on Vanderpump Rules.
Right.
So it's like, you're just essentially kind of recreating it in a mildly different way. It's like new paint more than anything, I would feel. Like you were saying, the format is slightly different.
Yeah. It is. It's almost like a crossover between Below Deck and Summer House, because they're all living together constantly, but they're not like They are kind of trapped together because they're not like leaving the villa. They're there all the time. But I mean, they're not actively trapped on a boat together.
Right.
So there's not that. But like, they are in service all the time. They've got guests that are coming on. They've got chefs. They've got, you know, bartenders. They've got event coordinator. You know, all of these different roles.
Yeah.
And that's very below deck-ish. You know,
right. So basically the concept is that Lisa Vanderpump is basically trying out the prospect of having her own quote unquote villa called Chateau Rosabella, where you can have a once in a lifetime experience in like the French countryside. And I realized the show that I was kind of referencing that I couldn't think of. It's also like it's all those things that you said. And then it's a dash of like Extreme Home Makeover
a little bit,
only in the
feel good category
and like the motivational. So it's not just like you're coming to have a vacation, you're coming to get like guidance and reassurance from Lisa Vanderpump. And like it's so that was the weird part to me. There's another weird part, but the weird part to me was the moments where Vanderpump would like pull these people aside, because like spoiler alert, like the first guests are like the guy is doing like a surprise proposal or whatever.
Right. It's also the guys is under the 4-year anniversary of them dating.
Right. But he's going to propose to this girl. And I love how much Lisa was like emphasizing it is surprise. You cannot say I feel like they were like really telegraphing as if someone was going to say something.
And then nothing happened.
No, but to me, but the weird part was him like Lisa saying, I would like to sit down with this man and have a conversation of what he loves about his wife and like guiding him on his like what he should say.
Yeah,
she was like, this is beyond for like an owner of like a villa.
I feel like she just wants to be a guru.
Yes, we said it when we were watching. It's giving RuPaul.
Yes,
it's giving RuPaul.
Yeah, because she literally talks to this guy about almost hinting on like inner saboteur things.
Yeah,
and it's like, what is was that with Jeremy, the one that was proposing, or was that with Harlan, the trans woman in the next episode?
I think it was probably more with Harlan.
Maybe. But it was like very much like hinting at the inner saboteur, hinting at like the, you know, transforming yourselves, like being a better version of you. It's like, girl,
well,
really?
She's doing it with the staff a little bit as well in moments. Uh-huh. Like there's a moment with Telly later where it's like very much like getting to the root of just like, you know, anger and resentment and like wanting to be friends. By the way, this is a complete like the whole discussion with like Telly and stuff like that, and sort of the like the way she like is like favoring like calling out sort of like abusive like behavior and like like some of the male behavior. Where is this Lisa this season of Vanderpump? It's like, what the fuck? Like, if this Lisa, like, this Lisa is like very tuned in and woke on sort of like dynamics and like what gaslighting is and what sort of like you know what I mean? It was just so very. Like,
but have you met Tom Sandoval?
Yeah, it's like, why can't you fucking apply that here? It's crazy.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, and there was another moment I cracked up. So there's this. We're going to jump ahead. It's the first three episodes are out, but we're going to talk kind of broadly about everybody. Yeah. So we're going to be jumping around. There's a bartender. One of the bartenders is named Andre. And
I like Andre.
Andre seems like the nice guy, right?
Yeah.
The women are kind of gravitating towards him because he's like not a douche like most of the men here.
Yeah. He's not Marciano and he's not Eric. Yeah. So, and Steven's cool, but he's gay. So
can't really do anything. But so he talked like in the first episode, like early on about how like he's still coping with the whole like stuff. He lost his mother like about like 4 years ago, but it's still like a lot for him and stuff like that. And he mentions like she loved Lisa Vanderpump. And so like this is like a big moment for him and like deal for him. So he gets this moment after the Jeremy and Sharon have their engagement sort of thing, and it's successful. And they say that Telly and him did the best, basically, in like the comment cards, which I guess is going to be like a plot point or whatever. And like Andre gets emotional about it as he's talking to Lisa in her office and like crying about how he was like, was happy to be successful. Like, and so that he feels like he's like doing well. And like, he talks about like, you know, my parents aren't around, you know, they're not here to see that as he's crying. And the way that Lisa goes, "Where are your parents? Where are they?" Like, it's like,
bitch,
oh,
you know everything about these people. Do not act like this is new information.
It's like, wow, Lisa, like you can't, like she's but she's loving it. You can feel she's like loving that like motheristic sort of vibe because it's gone on Vanderpump.
Yeah.
Completely gone. Let's go through some of the cast of characters. Okay.
So, I mean, let's just talk about the chefs real quick. Anthony, who is the head chef, and then Caroline, who is the sous chef.
Yeah, there's not a lot. We'll get to Caroline a little bit when we talk about Marciano.
And Eric, because both of them come at the chefs hard.
It's the chefs are so mild-mannered and just sort of like, and this was also my frustration in the first episode. Other than the chefs and then like I think like probably like the event coordinators like Gabriella and Steven, I don't believe any of these people have worked in service. Their actions are so beyond any normal actions of somebody who works in the service industry.
Yeah.
And I get like, oh, look at Sir, but Sir was never as bad as this. Like, it's just so it's just really blatantly just like, and
I don't know, like some of the arguments that the girls had literally on the floor or barely off the floor at Sir during service.
I guess, but it was like, it was the thing of just like Telly at one point, like Lisa has to tell Telly and Andre, like, so by the way, you cannot drink behind this bar, you know, especially when we have guests here, but you can't drink behind this bar. You have your own personal bar in the quarters. You can drink there, but you can't drink behind this bar. And they're like, absolutely. And then Lisa leaves. And what feels like 3 minutes after, they're just like chugging tequila,
like free pouring. Just free pouring into their mouths.
Oh, they love everyone in the show. Like, no one likes glasses, apparently. Everyone is just like free. Like, it's crazy. And it's like, that's just so like wild. Like, and it makes me feel like there was trepidation for me in the first episode where I wasn't sure if I loved this or not because it felt like they were just trying to be the biggest reality TV stars possible.
Yeah.
Like, there was a sort of part about like, this just doesn't feel earned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And so that's why, like, with the chefs and stuff like that, it's just like they're just doing their job.
Yeah.
And
they're just trying to cook some good food.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I mentioned Steven and Gabriella, who are kind of like the event coordinators. They, like, again, they also have their shit together. It's great seeing Gabriella in the element of like when she has to like do the events for the guests and like the, you know, guide them to certain things and sort of like lead it. She's great in that regard. She has a great sort of like demeanor in that. There's not a lot of drama with her.
Not yet. I'm sure that there will be at some point.
Yeah. Steven is like you mentioned, gay,
homosexual,
very homosexual. He definitely, I liked him in his element with the Harlan. Part.
I also really like him sticking it to Eric.
Oh, so yeah, Eric, let's jump to Eric because it's in relation to Steven and they're kind of the big focal points. Eric's the general manager. So he's just meant to
oversee
basically. But so he like loses control of everything the first episode, basically. Like it goes, like he doesn't put his foot down enough. Lisa tells him, "You're not like actually managing anything. You're just sort of like letting these people run fucking wild at this point." And then he completely overcorrects.
Yeah.
To where, and it was so crazy the way, like, before Lisa does like a meeting for like the next event, he's just like, "Okay, guys, I am the authority here. If you have a question, you must speak to me and only me." And like when Lisa comes in, like, it was
Lisa
one of the,
walks in and basically goes, "What the fuck are you doing?
Like, and
sit down."
It's very much just like the presenting of authority. And then he just is like getting into everyone else's bit. Like,
yeah.
So he completely like reorganizes like one of the breakfast breakfast dinner, he moves like underneath one of the trees when the lunch dinner is also underneath the same tree. And like, they're just like, Lisa planned this whole thing out. What do you do? Like,
yeah.
Like, and you're also overtaking Steven in that regard. And Steven's just getting fucking annoyed by it at this point.
Yeah.
And Eric, in the words of Wendy Williams, definitely has a ticky ticky.
Oh yeah.
Boom. You really get it by the end of the third episode. Like, the end of the third episode basically ends with they're doing like this like celebration for Harlan where they're just partying, and he again chugging tequila straight out of the bottle, aggressive, like just he's switches. Like,
yeah.
There's a look in his eye every time he switches that I'm scared about.
Yeah, there's this weird dynamic where they seem to get to where a certain threshold is met, like dinner is over, and then now nobody is technically working so they can party with the guests, which to me would feel weird.
Right.
I would not feel comfortable partying with people that I then had to go back into a subservient role under later.
And it's weird.
Like, that doesn't feel right.
Like, it's clearly like the guests are fine with it because, I mean, it's a television show, whatever.
And Lisa's fine with it too because she doesn't care once the service is ended what they do, really.
And it's part of like Lisa. Like, Lisa was like that to a degree in Sir, right?
Right.
To me, Lisa could run like a harem at this point. Like, she really, like,
honestly
enjoys the like.
Well, but it felt like she was more free and pomp than she was in Sir, really.
Maybe, yeah. But it's just like, yeah, that interacting is weird and just like kind of baffling to me. And, like, it seems like it's going to get really amped up with Eric, like, in the next episode. Because it's, like, God, a mess. Also, I will note, like, right before we recorded this podcast, I was scrolling through my phone and came across an article from the U.S. Sun that said, oh, by the way, Eric's ex-girlfriend is, like, filing a restraining order against him for, like, domestic abuse.
And she's, well, like, good thing he's in France. Yeah. Or at least was for a little bit.
Yeah, and she has photos, so it's like, I would not feel well in his presence.
Oh, no, at all.
Whatsoever. And it also, so, like, it's also seemed like, I guess they got a lot of these people from Vegas, from, like, the Vanderpump Vegas, like, dynamic. Like, they keep citing Vegas, and they seem to have some, like, interworkings with each other before.
Well, Steven said something about having worked in Vegas for, like, a week, and then had had a falling out with Lisa, and then now they're good again. So, it's like, I would have the balls on that man to audition for this show after having had a falling out with Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
And then he actually got back on the show. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about seemingly the main cast members of this show, which is Marciano and Hannah, a.k.a. Jackson Stassi. It's literally...
It's watered down Jackson Stassi.
Jackson Stassi unearned, you know?
Like, yeah, because Jackson Stassi had an endearingness to them that neither of these two have.
Oh, I hate Marciana.
There is nothing redeeming about either of these two.
Yeah.
And I love the fuck out of Stassi. And Jax, at least to me, is like...
Jax is humorous at points.
He's humorous, and though he is irritating, I'm like, okay, but he's like... He's funny, messy. There's no funny, messy here. It's just mess.
Here's my problem with Marciano. Marciano goes from 0 to 100 in anger for seemingly no reason.
Oh, that fight at the end of episode one?
Oh, so yeah. So,
between him and Telly?
Which I was kind of... Here's my frustration. I was on his side on the merits of it because so they're having the dinner with like the guests and all that stuff, and there's nobody behind the bar or whatever.
Right.
Telly's like looking for a corkscrew and can't find it, which, by the way, they didn't do any prep. They were like the first person orders an espresso martini, and they didn't figure out how to like work the coffee machine.
Even though they had noted before specifically that they needed to know how to work the coffee machine, and it's like, really? Really, guys?
Yeah. But, like, so Telly's, like, not by the bar, right? Andre is like,
apparently on lunch break.
Which I was so confused by as well. It's like, you have... During the dinner, you're going to have... Why not have both bartenders? It doesn't make sense. Because they're ordering drinks, like, pretty fast.
Yeah.
And so there's like no drinks. It's slowing down. I understood the frustration in that regard. But the way Marciano approaches it is just so intense. And it's what I was saying about, like, even if this was a problem, a actual person who was a server would never act this way.
Yeah.
It would never be just immediately, get me the fucking beer right fucking now, yelling at this person. And like, they're fucking...
I mean, at least they are somewhat removed from the party that's outside.
Well,
even then, it's like, y'all aren't that far and there's giant fucking windows. We can see you screaming in each other's faces.
Well, there was one point where I think it was Marciano and Priscilla or whatever were like yelling like... outside, and the table's right there. Like, it's not like, you know, it's just like, it was just fucking wild to me. And so Marciano comes in like fucking yelling. Telly's like, don't fucking yell at me, don't fucking raise your voice to me. He like kind of sort of like goes towards her to charge her. Telly shoves the fuck out of him. Like, and again, this is the first episode, first day, first event. This is seemingly within like an hour of just like the first dinner.
Yeah.
Why did it get so like crazy elevated?
Because they don't show all of it. They kind of like jump in the middle of this fight.
Yeah.
And it was like, how did we get here? What led up to this?
Right.
Why is this? Why are we starting at a 70?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. Well, and it's weird because Lisa has to walk this line, right?
Yeah.
Of hiring people to be on this show that are going to be messy enough to be entertaining, but also professional enough to actually run her service.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's a fine line to walk. And I get it because she did that with Vanderpump and walked the same line, right? Except none of her bartenders. Well, no, I take that back. Ariana knew what the fuck she was doing behind the bar. And, Sandoval, to a certain extent,
yeah,
knew what he was doing behind the bar. But Schwartz had no fucking clue what he was doing. He had a panic attack on his first day. Mm. Jax never knew what the fuck he was doing. In fact, refused to make certain drinks because he just didn't feel like muddling shit that yeah. day. Like nobody knew what the fuck they were doing.
No. And it's a, yeah.
At least they're not wearing handkerchiefs.
No.
Like the Sir girls used to.
the maid, whatever they were calling them, there's a word for them, but the maids basically for the villain yeah. that they have. It was veering on a little like costumey, I would say. Like, I get it's like French countryside, so you have to have a certain like.
Yeah. Which ones are doing that again?
I know it's Emily and.
Is it the Emily and Grace?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, and Emily is, like, possibly thinking of, like, was it Emily or Grace the one that was, like, is also a bartender? And so it's, and it seems like it's going to be a process of, like, some people are going to be moved out of jobs and then into jobs and sort of, like, that dynamic that should be somewhat interesting. Let's also talk about Hannah, especially in relation to Marciano. I would say definitely, like... early season Stassi with like a touch of Sheena. There's a touch of modern Sheena
yeah.
in her like whininess and yeah. like, and it's just, it's again,
Lisa has a type.
Yeah. And again, it's literally the Jackson Stassi story.
Well, because they were together before the show, broke up and come in as exes. Right.
You know, and then he like says, I forgot what, he says something about like sex with her at like a table when they were like talking, like asking questions to each other.
They said something about what was the sweetest thing or what was the most romantic date or something or another. And yeah. he said something about her giving him a blowjob.
And he's like, and she's like, are you fucking serious? Like saying that in front of people. Hour later, they are in the bed making out.
It's...
Girl! Do you have, like, no self-esteem?
Also, he's not even that hot. Like, come on.
Yeah. And it's so wild the way it just, like, shifts. Like, she has to go to like one of the events that's like a game event, like in like the garden or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're playing Jenga, the Jenga where they have like prompts or whatever. It's like, uh-huh. Kiss the person to your left. And so Steven, the gay one, by the way, has to like kiss her on like the cheek or something. She tells this to Marciano. Marciano gets like incredibly upset. She's like, why are you upset? It's like, no big deal. We're not even.
He's gay.
He's gay. And we're not even together. We haven't even like formalized our relationship. Then fast forward, like after like the big night is done, they're all hanging out in like the galley. Marciano is sitting on the couch. Priscilla, who is Brazilian, I believe.
Yes, Brazilian.
She is in her like dress or whatever, and it's a dress, but she's got like stuff, and her legs are just. She's got leggings on, and she's kind of like legs spread open, but only because she's laying backwards. It's not like she's intentionally
spreading
her
she's
legs.
not like legs spread like she's twerking on the couch or something.
No,
it's like
she's just
casually laying back.
And Hannah is so offended by this.
Like, to the point that she pulls her aside and says, this is a problem. Yeah. You need to not do this. This is so offensive. And it's like, you're not even with him.
Yeah.
Also, even if you were, how dare you try to police her behavior?
Yeah.
She's not involved in y'all.
And I felt so bad also for Priscilla. Because then, so Gabriella at one point also has her leg open like in a different night. But she's wearing leggings or whatever. Also, Marciano's not in the room and Hannah's not in the room either. But I think she was just like confused by it. So she brings like Gabriella of like, this is a double standard or whatever.
Right, because Hannah wasn't clear in what the issue was. There was a lot of implication when she was yelling at Priscilla. And then Priscilla, because English is not her first language, is like, I don't understand why you were so mad at me. This, to me, looks the same as the... And so, why are you not mad at her?
Yeah.
Why are you just mad at me? And so, I think Priscilla was trying to understand, but also, like... This is fucking bullshit. Why are you coming at me like this?
But then, of course, Hannah, instead of like explaining it, goes to the most default ass villain, like bitchy girl. You're fake as fuck, okay? You're such a fake ass fucking bitch.
You're fake as fuck.
That fight with her and Priscilla was hilarious to me. That she was just like so performative about it.
Honestly, I think that's what endeared me to the show was that fight. It was like, this is so fucking stupid.
They're coming to me like, oh, Hannah, are you the officer of justice? Like, wow, oh my God. It was so annoying.
Oh, so good.
And can we talk about can we also talk about the fight that like, this was the fight that I was like, this is the stupidest goddamn fight in the fucking world. And I was so fucking pissed off on Caroline's behalf with how fucking, when I talk also about Marciano going from 0 to 100, he hates the chefs for no reason.
None.
No, absolutely no reason. He like despises, like both of them despises them seemingly for no fucking reason.
Why do you hate food?
Yeah.
Food is delicious, Marciano.
So something happens where like Caroline is talking to Anthony in the kitchen, right? They're just like sort of like discussing things. And I guess just either she forgot or something slipped her mind. She had put a croissant in one of the ovens to like warm it up basically. And I guess just forgot that she put it in there or something like that. And Andre and Marciano are in the room with it because it's like a separate room with the oven in it. And he's like, oh my God, like the thing or whatever is burning or whatever. Keep in mind, he sees this.
He opens the oven and sees it, right? And then he closes it and runs around screaming about, she's going to catch the house on fire. The whole thing's going to burn down. How dare you?
Seemingly
and
it's like, he hasn't turned the oven off.
Hasn't taken the croissant out. If you were really that worried about fire safety, you would have, I don't know, stopped the issue before you started bitching.
He's like, no, Caroline needs to be the one to do it, apparently. And it is one thing to go up to a person and be like, hey, you left, even like slightly like annoyed, be like, hey, you left your croissant in the oven, like you almost burned it down or whatever. Like, it'd be one thing to do that. He walks in to the kitchen and goes, hey, dum-dum, you left a croissant in the fucking oven.
Excuse the fuck out of me?
Who the fuck do you think you're talking to, by the way?
I would have backhanded him with a ladle. Like, I just, whatever was in my hand would have gone right across his mouth.
It was just the, and it was just the, like, what are you, stupid? Like,
you're not going to fucking talk to me. Like, it's one.
Carol, she has done nothing to him.
Right. Well, and he's acting like he has any sort of authority over her.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
That's the thing. He thinks, again, much like Jax, he thinks he's the number one guy in this group. And it's like,
well, and even then, like, you're not even in the same group. Caroline and Anthony are over on their own thing. They are not involved with what the rest of y'all are fucking doing.
Right.
Like, even Eric is not in charge of the kitchen. Anthony is in charge of the kitchen.
Yeah.
He is the head chef. Anthony and Eric are equals.
And then, so I believe she goes in to take it out, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
And it's like black and burned and all that stuff, right? So, she leaves it somewhere or whatever. Marciano's not done. He takes the burnt croissant and goes and puts it on her bed. For what reason?
The way I would have shat in his bed in the middle of the night on top of his head while he was sleeping.
And the way that Caroline just goes off on his ass. She fucking rails into his ass. Like, being a disrespectful motherfucker. And it's like, that's where I'm just like, what is your damage, dude? Like.
And the thing is if, like, you talked about the croissant like it was like a black husk of. It wasn't even that bad. Like, along the edges was still, like, golden. Like, not even golden. Like pale.
Sure. It was past the point.
It was past the point, but it was like, you could still technically eat this and it'd be fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
The top was crustier than you wanted it to be, but it wasn't, like, charcoal to me.
Oh, it looked black to me.
It was, like, deep, deep, deep golden, but it was not black.
Sure.
Yet. To me.
Yeah. That was just,
it was nowhere near catching fire.
Yeah.
Was my point.
In a week of wild fights, that was the wildest fight I had seen, like, in a long fucking time on reality television. Because just for, like, how it elevated, what they were, it was just like, what the fuck?
It was clearly picking a fight to pick a fight.
Yeah. That's where I'm like, they need to be careful because it verges on a level of a performing reality star, right?
Right.
And so that's where I was like slightly trepidatious, but I still had a good fucking time watching it.
Well, and it's we've had this discussion when we talk about housewives and like new housewives who come in and kind of know the role of, you know, coming onto reality television, and they try to hit the ground running with their storylines and all their plugging in of businesses and all of these things, and it just flops.
Yeah.
This is kind of giving that a little bit, and it's like, come on, guys. Like, reality TV should still have a hint of reality to it.
Right.
Like, play it up for the cameras. Fine. Whatever. But, like, amp it up from a 7 to a 9. You're amping it up from a 1 to a 9.
Yeah.
Even pressing into a 10 on things that are stupid. So it's like you have nowhere to go when things are naturally starting at a 5, 6, 7, and you've already elevated the 1 up to the highest level of heights. Where are you going to go now to more serious topics when more serious fights happen? You have nowhere to go. There's no elevation beyond what you've already given us.
Yeah.
So at this point, it's like you're blowing your wad on episode 1. And I get it. You want to like stay on the air and like make a good first impression, but levels.
Yeah.
There have to be levels.
I agree.
And it has to make sense. I can't see a bigger fight over a fucking croissant Then I literally saw between you and your ex over you cheating.
Yeah. Like, honestly, anyone, we'll get to it with Vanderpump. Anyone complaining about Ariana's rage from this past episode, it's like, when Marciano can rage over a goddamn burnt croissant, she can do whatever the
and
fuck
she
wants.
Didn't even go off as hard as Marciano
right.
did.
That's, yes.
Like, she didn't even yell. She, like, spoke loudly, but there was no yelling.
Sure.
It's like, it's wild. Wild, the policing we do of women.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where Ariana can't even, like, forcefully say, fuck you, this is not going to happen anymore. Mm-hmm. And then Marciano can do all of this, and I've seen no outrage over the way that he has spoken to the women on this show.
No, it's crazy. That's our thoughts on Vanderpump Villa. I think, like I said, we're going to be reviewing it every week. Go watch it. The first three episodes are up, and it's
good.
It's entertaining. It is, at the baseline, it's entertaining, and so therefore
it has potential.
Yes, I agree.
Yes,
I fully agree. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're talking the newest episode of Vanderpump Rules. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm the Riz.
And, you know, Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Mayhem.
That's right.
Do you want something new to put on your reading list? Are you feeling your holiday spirit grow while also being astutely politically in tune?
Then you'll want to pick up The Santa Strike, a new book by Shanna Hamaker.
While home in Midland, Texas, on a weekend visit with the eccentric uncle who raised him, Marion Wachowski, otherwise known as Mary, discovers a long-forgotten letter Uncle Joe wrote to Santa Claus. Mary keeps it to share with his girlfriend Lindsay and his best friend Tommy. At first, they consider the letter to be nothing more than a silly lark. What kind of grown man would write a letter to Santa? But soon, Mary and Lindsay find themselves caught in a much larger mystery, concerning many, many more letters to Santa, all surrounding the crisis of gun violence in America.
You can order The Santa Strike now on Amazon, available both on Kindle and in paperback.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at SidekickMediaServices.com.
Welcome back to A Gay and His MB. Let's head to West Hollywood, where Sandoval can't seem to stop whining at the water tasting and being a bitch at the beach on Vanderpump Rules.
Vanderpump Rules. This episode. So there was like hype within, definitely within like the Bravo, insiders, like people who get like screeners. Uh-huh. I saw a lot of people being like, who, this episode's going to get people talking. I think Brian Moynihan, who I follow, was like, I'm interested to see what the discourse is going to be after this episode. And it's like,
everybody seemed to think that, and even the cast seemed to think this is the episode where people are going to turn on Ariana. And it's like,
no, not
this,
really.
I feel like this more entrenched most of us.
Yeah, I think because this is Ariana finally expressing that she's fed the fuck up.
Like, I just, where she's expressing to the cast where they have fucked up.
Yeah.
Where she's expressing to Sandoval where he has fucked up. And fucking Maya.
Yeah. It's just like, I can't, I just dare you guys, who anyone who is like, sort of like, well, she's a lot. She was doing too much. Put yourself in her shoes with everything that has transpired. Like it's fully justified to me. I feel, I just really think it is. And I just like, is it like a messier package than you want it to be? Fine, but that's not up to you. Sorry, it's not up to you how she moves.
Yeah.
And deals with her emotions in regards to that, especially when she is being put in pressure cooker situations, not just in terms of filming with him, right? Because we'll get to, she's like conceded that, like, I have to like be in rooms with him.
She's conceded with filming with him. She's conceded even with having mutual friends with him.
Yeah.
She has given up so much ground. All she has asked at this point is do not talk to me about him and do not talk to him about me.
And the way that some of these people, Brock, we'll get to Brock.
People are acting like that is the biggest affront to civility.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you place this blight on our friend group? Like, I'm sorry. Who inflicted this on the friend group? Let me check the records.
Right.
I seem to see. Oh, it was Sandoval.
It all comes back to him. Did you see Lala on her podcast, which, by the way, this past Lala podcast with Heather McDonald, so many things in there where it's like, oh my God, Lala, I am losing so much respect for you.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Don't talk about Ariana's dad.
No.
And how she didn't have a close relationship like you did with yours. Don't say that.
It's not ever on you to judge how close they were.
And it's so unnecessary for you to say. Again, multiple digs to her as well. And also, did you see her saying that the fans are rewriting history? Why? Because we have eyeballs?
Yeah.
We have eyeballs and ears and we see stuff and we're just like, this seems not correct. You guys seem like assholes to her. You seem like you're just like really harping on her for every little fucking thing.
Well, it constantly comes back to misogyny on this show.
Yeah.
And it is constantly coming back to the cast time and time again, bending over backwards to protect these disgusting fucking men.
And I think they really... I was thinking about this with this last season and with how big it got, right? And how much media attention and new fans and viewership and all that stuff. They curated a new audience, right? A modern 2023 audience. And that's part of the reason the story resonated, I feel, with a lot of people, and particularly with women, because you had a lot of women who have been in similar situations like Ariana has been in, right?
Yeah. Hell, I've been in a situation close to what Ariana's been in.
Sure, men as well. So many people have. And it's like, you've now curated that audience and you want to go back to, again, those classic things that we just didn't think about in seasons 1, 2, and 3 about how it's like, yeah, like Schwartz is like fucking anything that moves. And it's, you know, he's like dating Katie, but like Katie's a bitch, so whatever. Or like, yeah, like Sandoval is like, lying and doing it. But like, you know, he's a guy and he's cool, so whatever. And also these girls are mean girls. That shit, that narrative is not flying in 2023 like it is in 2014.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's just not.
Like in the way I put it in my head was like, when you look, we talk about Sandoval, 40 years old. Schwartz, 40 years old. Brock is up there. You know, these
Jax
men,
is 44.
Right.
He's not on this show anymore, but he's still part of the history.
And it's like, and the whole thing is like, well, these are grown ass men who have never actually grown up, right? We acknowledge that, right? We even acknowledge that on the show now, right?
Well, and what was fucked up is they were already grown ass men.
Right. But the problem is they're 40 year olds who have never grown up. The problem is that the audience has. The audience has grown up.
Yeah.
The audience has gone to therapy. The audience knows what this shit looks like. They know what the toxic qualities look like, and they're not putting up with it anymore.
Well, and I also think that a large part of the audience for this show is also service industry workers. And a lot of during the pandemic started acknowledging and fighting back against the toxic attitudes that exist in the service industry.
Yeah.
And a lot of those attitudes are echoed in this friend group. It's the constant misogyny. It's the constant making excuses for toxic men.
Yeah.
It's like all of this shit, right? And we have very much decided we are not putting up with that shit anymore. And then we see it still being perpetrated on television and we're like, we're not putting up with it there either.
Yeah.
Like we're not doing that anymore. We're done.
Yeah.
It's just the show, the people on the show, I can firmly say, except for Ariana, Katie, Allie.
Yeah.
And half of James.
Yeah.
James tries, but he's still very much in it.
James advocates more for Ariana and Katie, I will say, than any of the other
especially
guys.
On the after show, has started bringing it to Lala.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, okay, okay. Like, he's not perfect. None of us are. But he's doing better than any of the other men.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's just like other than that, Lala has fully bought into the misogynistic bullshit. Like,
well, that's the that's why it's so gross to me. It's that it's internalized now.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
Well, and at a certain point, she started, I don't remember exactly what it was or where she said it. I think it was on her podcast, but said something about like Ariana should have known better or like known that Sandoval would do. And
she was saying that Ariana didn't defend against other women who Sandoval was being a misogynist
to. But it's like,
which is not true.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you've never dated toxic men before?
Right. You didn't defend. I guarantee Randall didn't do shit that was wrong in front of you or nasty shit, and you didn't defend him. You didn't fucking stand by his side like a partner. You didn't do any of that shit.
Except we know you did because you literally said so in the documentary about Randall.
So what are you? Yeah. So it's like, what are you critiquing Ariana for?
Like, you don't, like, shut the fuck up. Also, you would not have put up with the bullshit that y'all are putting Ariana through just last season when you were going through it with Randall.
1,000%. And it's so hypocritical to me. Okay, let's start the episode. We see a couple flashes of scenes, and some of the girls are working out in, like, a park area. It's Lala, Katie, and Allie. Katie was such a mood here. Like, not... I think the trainer's like, do you feel good, Katie? And she's like, no, not really.
Me.
She goes, I don't understand all these fitness people who say that they are addicted to the endorphins. It's like they never drank wine or experience what real true joy and happiness is, because this isn't it.
A queen.
And then Lala tells her about how she's having a water tasting party, which...
If anybody else had done this, she would have read them to Phil.
1,000. You're reading fucking Ariana and Katie for another sandwich tasting, and this is the event you do? All right. Lala.
It's water. I loved how most of the cast in their confessionals was like, it's water. Tastes like water.
Yeah.
This one's bubbly, but it's water.
It literally tastes like water.
It's tap.
This is $1,000. Tastes like water.
I do not believe that is the only fucking bottle in the U.S. or the world or whatever. He opened it on this fucking show. Are you kidding me? Also, Lala's not spending that kind of money on a fucking bottle of water.
No.
It's Aquafina, bitch. It's like... I can't.
Okay. We go to Tom.
I did see that Sarasota was in there, which is the water sponsor for Top Chef, which is also a Bravo show.
Connected. It all comes back around. We go to Tom and Ariana's house. Anne arrives in her suit, prepared to interview for Ariana. Anne is adorable to me. Love her. Love Anne so much. So Anne acknowledges, like, I kind of like, because spoiler, Sandoval fires her, even though he tries to act like he doesn't. He fires her because of this whole thing. But Anne's like, I kind of knew I ran that risk. Like,
right.
It's like.
Well, what pissed me off about this is that they're downstairs talking. And where is Sandoval? Up in the hallway, listening down the stairwell to this conversation. But weren't you the one that bought white noise machines to keep other people from spying on you?
He is such, like, mirror. Fucking mirror, dude. No one's listening to any of your fucking conversations, but you seem to be scoping out everybody else's.
Because we don't need proof that you're a piece of shit. We know you're a piece of shit. We know you're despicable. We don't need more proof of that. We have all the proof we need.
And if we need more, we can just give you a mic pack.
Honestly. Because you keep proving it to us every episode.
Yeah. Ariana says they're confessional. Things might get rough with my roommate if I poach his assistant. But he didn't respect me enough to not fuck my friend when I was at my grandmother's funeral. I should be stealing his assistant gleefully.
Honestly.
And here's the, anyone being like, well, because Sandoval's like, how dare Ariana, you know, do this or whatever. He says in his confessional something to the effect of, Ariana's already got all of my friends. You know, now she has to take my assistant. She can have anybody she wants to work for her. But you're missing them and wanted to work for her.
Also, have you seen, have you not, where does she have all your friends? Because all of her friends seem to be mad at her.
Right,
and
exactly.
And siding with you.
And, but he's still the victim. He's still the victim.
I can't.
Because they're not his friends. But here's the thing. They're not his friends yet until they say, Sandoval, you were right all along.
You were right to fuck her.
Yeah. It's like wild. So Ariana's going over things with Anne.
Can we cancel this show after the season?
It's got to be.
It's got to be done, right?
Yeah.
Like, I just, it's run its course.
Ariana tells her, like, you know, because going over, like, what the process of an assistant would be, she's like, you know, I know you're here all day, whether there's stuff to do or not, you know, good for you. You get to hang out with Maya. And Anne goes, yeah, it does have his cons, though. You know, I do have to pick up his dirty socks and underwear. Ariana's like, I don't think that's normal. For an assistant.
No.
And it isn't. Like,
no.
It just simply isn't. And then Ariana, her confessional, goes, I know he wears that shit sometimes for like days in a row. And then he would wonder why I never wanted to fuck him.
Like,
change your drawers, bro.
Oh.
Like, can we also talk about, by the way, how many scenes have we seen this season? I think we're like 9 episodes in. How many scenes have we seen of Sandoval just working out in the house? It's like he's only ever in the gym.
And here's the thing. If you're not leaving the house, you're not going anywhere, you're not doing anything. If you want to lounge around in the same drawers for 2 days, cool. I don't give a shit. But like, if you're getting up and working out and you're going out all these places, presumably taking a shower.
Yeah.
And you put the same dirty, oh my God, I don't. How can you sweat in clothes and then take a shower and then put those same nasty clothes? I can't.
Yeah, and it's LA. It's hot. It's like,
No, I can't. I can't. Oh my God, I hate this man.
Yeah, but he's upset. But what I was going to say, it's, I feel like he has this like weird obsession now with working out. I mean, maybe it was even before, but like he's so like every scene he's working out, every scene he's like, when Kristen shared on her podcast, that story about how she would like, how like Sandoval kind of encouraged her when they were together to like take funny enough, we figure out where the laxatives came from.
Yeah.
That like they would take like laxatives and water pills together to like lose weight because he was so focused on like image.
And he
like
wanted her to be smaller than him, but he would constantly be taking these laxatives to also lose weight.
There's like,
like back in the day when they were together, he was a stick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he wanted her to be smaller than him.
But he's not as much of a stick now, but he's like,
he's 40. It's hard, you know.
Yeah, but since the breakup, he's like veiny more. Like he's like sort of like,
is he taking roids?
I wasn't gonna say it, but it feels like it. I'm sorry.
Say it with a question mark. I am asking. I am not accusing.
Maybe that's why his eyes are like the way they are. Like,
or why he's so quick to anger.
Yeah, it's Ariana tells Anne, like, you know, maybe once I'm out of the house, like, it's probably a bad idea for me to have you as my assistant at this point. Like,
and honestly, if he's still that, like, if he was taking roids, you'd think he'd have more muscle.
Yeah. It's not, and it's, and there's like a little.
That's
like,
just sad. Like, if that's all the effort. Going through all of this effort to take roids and then like that's all you get.
Well, and his arms are somewhat defined, but they're not like they're not like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
not,
it's
like,
just veiny.
Ugh. Yeah. We go over to Sheena and Brock's house, and Schwartz comes over with a plant again.
Another gift.
You're right. You are totally right that he has also learned from Sandoval.
Yep.
Like, there's not a scene where, not only the plant, he also brings this, like, sun hat. It's, like, adult-sized sun hat for, like, Summer Moon. And I love Summer Moon because I don't want it. And they put it on her anyway. Schwartz then goes, man, like, I open up Instagram, and, like, the first thing I see were, like, 6 posts of people having kids, and it, like, triggered my biological clock.
You don't have that.
That's not what that means, Schwartz. That's not what that means.
I mean,
you could literally have a baby at 60.
Yeah. Yeah. Just ask Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, exactly. Or what was it? Not Robert De Niro. Who like? Or maybe it was Robert De Niro. Isn't Robert De Niro having like a baby?
Maybe. I don't remember. But he's like in his
70s.
70s, I think. Yeah.
So it's like, dude, come on. And then Schwartz says in his confessional, you know, I'm not sure about a lot of things in life, but I'm sure that I'll be a good dad.
No.
I'm not sure about that.
I don't think so.
No, no. You might be the fun dad, but like the fun dad also sometimes like is not actually
here's
a good
the thing.
Dad.
Here's the thing. I kind of bet that Brock as an absentee father to his children in Australia is a better father than you would be actively in your kids' lives.
Yeah, that's harsh, but it's kind of true. It's kind of true.
You would be a good uncle.
That's what I mean. The fun uncle. You're the fun uncle.
But you need no actual responsibility because you cannot take care of yourself.
Yeah. So they go out to Sheena's backyard. Sheena has like this like cold plunge tub. Like it's just a bathtub.
Just
like,
on her back porch.
I was like, what is
it's
that?
It's giving redneck.
It's very redneck.
It's like, have you been like visiting Brittany and her family in Kentucky? Like it's giving backwoods.
Schwartz then goes, you know, like every time I come to the West Side, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like what I used to say about having sex with Katie. I'm like, where are you going with this? Like, can you not anymore with this?
He goes, also, it's been 2 years. You don't get to talk about having sex with your ex-wife.
Yeah. He goes, we didn't have a lot of sex towards the end of our marriage, but when we did, it would be like, why don't we do this more often? And then Brock goes, well, she's doing it more often, just not with you. And Sheena goes, Brock. Brock,
I thought that was funny.
It started funny, but then it just got.
Yeah.
Brock was doing everything to secure like a full-time spot next season.
Honestly, it was like, I don't even think that they're pushing for, because here's the thing.
There's both.
I think that Lala and Sheena have both realized that Vanderpump Rules is ending
because
both of them have moved to the valley. Lala literally just 6 months ago bought the house next to Sheena.
When that story came out about her buying a house in the valley, I was like, didn't she just buy a house?
Like, what is happening? So like, I think both of them are angling to be on the valley next season, and I think that is what Brock is doing, because he knows that the valley is more couple based, so he knows that he has to step it up to be
okay. Sorry, spoiler alert, Brock, you ain't gonna be a couple by the time like contract negotiations.
Well, to be fair, two of the couples on the valley are no longer a couple by the time next season is coming around.
As this is happening, we also go over to Katie's apartment and Ariana stops by. And she tells Katie, like, yeah, I was just like interviewing Anne. Like, she was like so cute in her suit. So I'm getting ready to leave. And she's in the kitchen crying because Tom is coming down on her because he was upstairs eavesdropping. And so this is where, okay, there's a scene later in the episode with, I don't know if I even told you about this. I saw this from
a user.
There's a scene later with Ariana and Lucinda, who was their interior designer.
Right.
Those scenes apparently happened on the same day, like one after the other, but they acted as if it was a different day. So apparently after that is when this whole thing happened. Like, it was Ariana, Lucinda, and Anne. This is according to, I believe, Anne.
Yeah.
Or no, it was Lucinda, because Lucinda's on Instagram, like, telling all the tea. Lucinda doesn't fuck with Tom Sandoval, by the way.
Oh, even not surprising.
She was the one that did Schwartz and Sandy's interior as well, so fun fact. The fact that she doesn't fuck with him should tell everyone everything. That it was them three.
She also did a third. Who else? Who's other?
Someone else is. I think maybe Tom and Katie's house.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, continue.
But like, they were in, the three of them were in the kitchen together, and Sandoval thought they were talking shit about him. And he comes down and apparently blows up on them. And this is where he's like Ariana has to leave to go to Katie's or whatever. And he's railing into fucking Anne. Anne literally describes it as, Ariana's like towards like the hallway out the door, and because Sandoval's like around the corner still yelling or whatever, and Anne is like crying but is looking at Ariana in the moment of like, I'm here for you.
This is why I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. So like, but also just the fact that he yelled at Anne is just so stupid. Katie then also is like, look, I also don't like this, like, invasion of privacy that's, like, happening all around. Talking about, like, the Sheena stuff with, like, yeah. And it's, like, Sandoval over eavesdropping. It's, like, crazy. Back at Sheena and Brock, Sheena's telling about how, like, Brock, it wasn't Brock's place to say anything about the Max thing. And, like, she's still kind of annoyed at him for doing that.
Yeah.
Brock goes, I mean, let's not forget, last summer, Katie wished for your world to fucking burn. So what? Did she do anything about it?
No. Katie speaks in hyperbole all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's Katie.
The way Brock hates Katie is also really, like, annoying to me and frustrating.
Because he has no grounds for it. He just does.
Yeah. And it's like, Sheena, you, guys, Sheena and Brock... Sheena's been smart enough this episode. Sheena was kind of smart this episode for the most part. Like, y'all should shut the fuck up about any of the Katie Short stuff in particular. Because yeah. Brock, you were the one rooting them on in Mexico to make Shorts to make out with Raquel. Sheena spent the first half of last season trying to get them to kiss.
Right.
Why the, like, to harp then on Katie's emotions after the fact, go fuck yourself.
Also, considering the fact that Sheena... actively, like, tried to exclude Katie from getting paid for the trip to
her wedding
because at the end of the day, we know it's a cast trip. We know the entire cast trip, the entire cast has to be invited. That is a contractual thing of doing a reality television show. We know this.
Yeah.
But Sheena tried to make it so awful for Katie so that Katie would not only forfeit the money she put down on a hotel room in Mexico, but also forfeit any of the money she would get from being on those episodes. She tried to screw her out of a large amount of money.
But Katie tried to make her world burn because she said it once in, like, a FaceTime at Lala.
Fuck off.
It's like...
You literally tried to steal... several thousand dollars from this woman.
Yeah. Schwartz goes, it is hypocritical. I mean, that's one of my closest friends. I kissed Raquel once. She was an on-the-fringe friend. The way he tries to rewrite this is like Raquel wasn't in the friend circle. What are you fucking talking about?
Raquel was in the intro for the show.
Like, dude, and that's what Katie was talking about. Like, the people on the show, because then it becomes a storyline because...
Right.
Like...
She was like, I don't give a shit if you fuck somebody I know. I give a shit if you do it in front of these cameras because then I have to live with it and it lives on forever.
Yeah. Sheena tells Schwartz here, well, maybe it's tit for tat. And like Sheena, this is what I'm saying. Sheena was smart where she's just like, I have to be on Katie's side in this just because it's not going to be good if I'm not. Like, it's really yeah. not.
I mean, at least Katie had the decency to fuck Max, who used to be on the show, who is no longer on the show. Who literally is not even, like, even in this storyline,
yeah.
does not appear.
I also love, did you see Katie on her podcast? Because she's podcasting with that girl Dana from season 8.
Oh, yeah.
And Dana and
I liked Dana.
Yeah, and, like, we see her later this episode. And, like, Dana and Max hooked up famously, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, that was the whole drama on that season. And, like, I love that on the podcast, Katie was like, the first thing I felt bad for is for Dana, and I really wanted to apologize. She didn't feel bad for Schwartz at all, rightfully so. But she's like, I did feel bad about doing that to Dana. Like... Katie in her confessional goes, Tom can be upset if he wants, but at the end of the day, should I feel bad? No. It's not like we had an agreement, right?
Yeah.
You don't, because he burned it. Like,
yeah. He burned that agreement to the ground.
Ariana tells Katie how she's not looking forward to the water event because of Sandoval being there and all that.
And also, it's water. Who gives a fuck?
Sure. She goes, I mean, considering it's... Because Katie's like, do you think he's coming? And Ariana's like, considering it's Lala's thing, it would make sense. He, you know, he'd be there. It's because she's really going out of her way to understand something with him, like part of her own healing journey. I don't know. Like she's just... This is where, again, Ariana was finally starting to be like, what the fuck is Lala doing? What the fuck are these other people doing? This is just, like, odd. Like, it was great to hear her vocalize that.
Well, and here's the thing. I can understand with Sheena, because she lost a friend in Sandoval and wants to get that back, whatever. Sure. As much as I think that it's misguided and stupid, I at least understand that, right?
I know, yeah.
But, Lala didn't fuck with Tom.
Ever.
Ever. She hated that man since the moment she got on this goddamn show because she saw through his bullshit. Now, all of a sudden, she wants to be his friend?
Conveniently. What? Of all times. Yeah.
When he has shown his ass the most.
Yeah, and continues to show it. So Ariana says in her confessional, short of removing myself entirely from this group of friends, it's not possible to never be in the same room with my ex ever. So I'm going to go. Lala is my friend. And I don't know what the fuck a water tasting is, and I kind of want to find out. So like we said before, she is conceding, right? She's constantly conceding, right. You know, boundaries and like sort of like I'll open it up a little bit. I'll be in the same room as him. I'll film a group scene where he is there.
Because she understands that she is on this show. And that she needs to be able to film this show.
Lala said on her podcast, the infamous podcast, like about this of just like, look, you got a job to do, blah, blah, blah. It's like, but she's letting you do the job. She is conceding to her own better judgment, her health, her sanity. She is conceding those things, Lala. And the problem that Lala seems to still not get is that it's not about filming with him. It's not about existing in the room with him. It's not even about speaking to him. It's about how you're moving.
Right.
You could film with him and still move differently than you're moving right now.
Right. It's so not hard to understand.
Yeah. So the water event is happening at James and Allie's place because Lala needed somebody to host it or whatever. And the guy, Martin, is already there. And he's this like German, like kind of, I mean, maybe queer. I don't know. He's like just a...
Who knows?
Or just eccentrically straight. Like,
yeah, something.
He was definitely doing a whole lot. He was auditioning. Oh my God. Fucking Sheena bringing pink lemonade Smirnoff to the fucking water tasting when it's about, like, whatever, but like...
To be fair, that pink lemonade Smirnoff is amazing.
We literally have a bottle of it
have a bottle of it at the house. It's great.
But like, whatever, but also like, Lala is specifically doing this because she's sober and she's talks about like how sparkling water has been like helping her, like sort of like in the, like it's mm-hmm. been a saving grace for her or whatever. So it's like to bring vodka. It's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Lala walks away from this season with a sparkling water like deal,
she's
like
a brand for deal. It. I mean, maybe that'll. Just give her one more brand deal and maybe she'll loosen on Ariana.
I guess.
Katie and Brock hug at one point. Brock's like, I mean, I'll talk to you later. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I was just fucking hammered. Hence why I aired out all your bullshit at Sir or whatever. And Katie goes, maybe this is payback from Brock talking about his private life. Cause she kind of talked about it in season 9 about like the child support stuff and like, all.
Yeah,
but it's like, whatever. It's not 2 years ago. And also Katie hasn't done anything really to you, but
right.
Katie's like, so are we good? Are we even like,
But also it was relevant because it was standing in the way of Sheena and him getting married. Because, like, there was, like, all of that shit. Like, there was stuff. Yeah. Like, there was a reason it was brought up. It wasn't just brought up out of maliciousness. This was brought up to be malicious because Max has nothing to do with the show anymore.
Right. Lala intros the event for everyone and has Martine show off all the waters. Lala says, has anyone done this before? And Sandoval goes, yesterday. And Lala goes, oh, you did it yesterday? Sandoval goes, just kidding. I've never done it.
I hate it. I hate this man.
Ariana says he is doing too much. Way too fucking. Like I'm not saying he has to. Here's the thing. Also, I'm not even saying he has to be mute. You know what I mean?
I'd prefer it.
I would prefer it.
But like, I get it. You're on this show too. You gotta.
But
whatever.
It's just the way he just like, it's so like, he's like a bed bug. He just like, ugh, I hate him. Like, it's terrible. Martine is going through all the waters and that.
You know the energy it gives? You know that the character on SNL, the one-upper girl? It's giving that. It's giving, oh, I've done that too. I've also had a water tasting. I did it yesterday. It's very bad.
Because he thinks it's like, oh, because it's like he's doing a joke that everyone thinks will, he thinks that everyone thinks will be like such a funny joke. And it's just like, okay, dude, like, whatever. Like,
the thing is that they're humoring him.
Yeah.
They're acting like his jokes are funny, well, and they're not.
They're not even humor. I don't even think they're humoring him. They go kind of silent when he does it. That's what makes it more awkward.
I mean, like, just in general.
Yeah.
Like, they put up with it. I'm and sure, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Martine says, you know how old these like waters are from like thousands of years? He's like, these waters might be dinosaur piss. And like he calls himself the Harry Potter of waters. He was trying so hard to like get behind the bar and watch what happens live and to like become the face of the season. I understand it in terms of like because of how successful last season was.
Yeah.
It's like if I can get a scene, like it's millions of people are going to watch me. You know, so it's just like
nobody's doing a water tasting.
No. Yeah, so they finish. They drink that $1,000 water, which is like, what the fuck? Like,
it's water.
Yeah, Katie calls that out in the confessional. But so they all like thank Martin or whatever. Jane. So James ordered pizza or whatever to come to the house. And James hears the doorbell. He's like, oh, I'm gonna go get the pizza. Sandoval then comes up to me and goes, I'll help you. And literally, James goes, don't worry, I'll grab the pizzas, Tom. And Sandoval goes, I mean, like, just in case.
Gift,
and then all, but just to be so he all the women are like on the couch right in the living room right by the door,
right?
So like it really felt like Sandoval was just trying to get in front of the women, in front of the cameras, and
uh-huh.
be there and be present, because like he like Sandoval like go and then like Allie's like, hey James, did you get ranch? And James is like, oh, we forgot the ranch. And Sandoval's like, oh wait, I'll catch him, I'll get it, like hold on, let me get the guy, hey buddy, can you. And Ariana's just like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, it's just like...
But it's again, he's trying to put himself in a place where he's doing all of these quote-unquote nice things
mm-hmm.
where he can endear himself to people.
And they're showy, but they're innocent enough to where it's like, well, Ariana, why are you being such a bitch about this?
Right. Exactly. That's the entire point. It's so that he can come back and say, but I paid for your... For your proposal party.
Yeah.
I paid for Rachella, so you can't be mad at me.
Because it's not one big thing. It's not one big, like, asshole move to get someone triggered. It's a bunch of little things.
Right.
That are, like, sort of, like, punctuated throughout. And it's like, ooh. Sandoval, because Ariana is, like, whispering about, like, God, he's doing too much. And Sandoval walks in and, like, kind of hears it. He says his confessional, it makes it harder for me to be in the background, to be a wallflower, when I hear Ariana making all these comments about me. With Ariana constantly putting pressure on people to choose her, the deck is stacked against me.
What? Number one, it's really hard to be a wallflower when you are constantly inserting yourself in every conversation and every scene.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can understand why it's difficult to be a wallflower, because you don't want to be one and you are working very hard to not be one. Number two, she does not fucking talk about you unless you are causing her grief.
Yeah.
And even then, she talks to you about you when you are not there. And she talks to you about you to people who are not fucking with you, like right. Katie.
And that's the thing. It's like there's talk later about like, oh my God, there's just so much like dealt with rage inside of Ariana about Sandoval. No, there really isn't. The rage is not even about him. It's about the situations that she is being put in and the stuff that it's being said to her directly. That you would naturally be rageful against this type of person. So like it's like in like you're saying in everyday normal conversations where he is not being shoved in her face and not being and holes are not being poked in her stories and all that stuff.
Right.
She's not like angry, like consumed, you know, being consumed with anger.
Right. She is not talking to Lala or Sheena or anyone else in this group about Tom. The only person that she talks to about Tom is Katie, because Katie doesn't fuck with Tom.
And she only mentions things when people ask her questions and people, especially at this party, right?
Right.
Like it's getting probed out of her.
Right. Because she actively tries to not talk about him to people that he is still connected to, because that's respectful.
Yeah. the guys are outside playing basketball, and then Sandoval comes outside. This, to me, was like classic narc move, and also like, again, just shows the narrative. Brock, like, gleefully is like, I mean, embrace this with like your single story, Sandy. Like, basically being like, tell us, like, you know, how's the dating life going? Have you had any fun dates and sort of, you know, whatever? Sandoval then goes, I got one. You know, the other night, T tells me that Ariana was like asking her questions, like, how old are you? Like, all the, it's like, they, you've turned this into like a bash Ariana thing where Brock was just asking, like, have you had any good dates lately? But he's like, great opportunity to make this about Ariana. He goes, I don't know. I felt like it was like really tacky. You calling anyone else tacky can go fuck yourself straight off of a cliff.
Number one. Number two, you're a predator. Ariana was trying to save someone else the heartbreak she has gone through.
Yeah.
So that's just a public service announcement. That is not anything to do with trying to screw you over. Number three, you are not owed a date. Yeah. So if you just go out into the world and everyone knows you're a piece of shit, that is the least of what you deserve.
Yeah. So Sandoval clearly wants them to be like, yeah, that was fucked up by Ariana. God, she needs to fuck. Like, she's such a, you know, in your business and all that stuff. You're the victim, basically. Brock goes, maybe you, because Brock is trying to like try to like talk some weird like reason, right? He goes, maybe you guys should have a conversation. Like, and Sandoval cuts him off and goes, maybe everyone should just like chill out. Like, snapping at Brock. Like, this is where it's like, Brock, what are you doing? Like, this guy is snapping at you multiple times when you're trying to reason with him.
Brock has this thing where he feels like he has to do devil's advocate.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what situation or what conversation he has been in this season, he has disagreed with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if he actively had the other point of view in a previous conversation.
Right.
Every single time he's had a conversation with someone, it has been in an adversarial
way.
And yeah, they never agree.
Yeah. Brock goes, you guys need to figure out how to talk to each other. Sandoval goes, I love how people put that on me.
Because you're the...
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so back by the kitchen table, the rest of them are having pizza. Lala asked about like the Anne stuff, and Lala's like, because I mean, like, this is like much bigger than him, like, just letting go of an assistant. Like, she's the middleman between you guys. So, like, what's the plan? That, which I think is fair enough. Like,
yeah, that's
to
fair.
Be worried about. Ariana goes, I mean, Eric can probably do it. Like, talking about her lawyer. Sheena goes, your lawyer's not going to be telling you when to go upstairs and use the tonal. And Ariana goes, I mean, it's my tonal. But they spin this as if she's like, I didn't take this as her saying, my lawyer is going to be texting with us and like be in the house or what. No, she's saying like, my lawyer can find a mediator or finds, like, you know what I mean? That's what I took from it.
Well, even if it was...
She doesn't say it the best, but...
I figure that she was just saying, well, my lawyer is the go-between on everything else except for this. He can fill in until either I find an assistant or Tom finds another one. Either way, I'm not talking to him, so we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Lala then says in her confessional, I mean, I think your lawyer has better things to do with his time than mediate between you and your boyfriend when you're choosing to stay in the house.
And I'm sure your lawyer had better things to do than have his name all over your merch last season.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do I know?
What do you know?
Send it to Daryl.
Katie goes outside at one point, and Schwartz is out there. And this dynamic I thought was fascinating to me. Schwartz goes, anything you want to talk about? And Katie goes, is there anything you want to talk about? Like, with a big smile on her face. Schwartz goes, you dirty dog. And Katie goes, look, I'm trying on the Schwartz pants and just like walking a mile in them. People were saying that this scene,
they were talking about, oh my God, there is so much sexual tension between
Katie
and...
They're going to get back together.
Ew. Like, no.
I don't think that. I think there was playfulness. Don't get me wrong.
Right. Because she has finally gotten to a place where she can let go of the over a decade of abuse from this man.
Yeah.
She has finally gotten to a place where she is free of this bullshit.
Yeah. That's where I took it, where it's just like, she doesn't have to, she, it's not something that's going to like consume her life where she gets all exasperated and just like,
right.
It's just like, I can just kind of laugh it off
right.
because he's such a joke right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they could have a friendship, but I don't think that I didn't read it as sexual tension.
I don't think that they'll ever be able to have a real friendship because he still doesn't respect her as a human.
It's like a superficial friendship more than anything, but not like a deep, like, you know.
Right.
Swartz goes, by the way, I'm not mad. And Katie goes, I mean, when I unpack it, it was kind of like a fuck it mentality that I had because, like, you've been doing me dirty for years and years and years.
Well, and that is one thing that I will give to Swartz, is that he never seemed upset about it. He seemed surprised by
it. Yeah, he likes
it. But he never seemed mad about it.
He's kind of holding it over Katie in like a,
in a teasing way.
Yeah, than like a, you're a hypocrite.
Right.
He says it a couple times, but it's like.
But it's more of a teasing way of. Well, you told me not to fuck around in the friendship, and now you're doing it.
And less of Katie's like, okay. Like,
he's like, and?
Yeah. He goes, Max is literally my best friend. I'm sure Sandoval loves hearing that, by the way.
I'm sure.
And you fucked him, and you roasted me into oblivion after I kissed Raquel, and she was barely in the friend group. This whole barely in the friend
Again.
Group. It's not going to work. Katie goes, you couldn't even respect one wish. And Swartz goes, it was a flimsy agreement. And then he goes, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Genuinely, I am. Like, one after the other. It was like, what? Katie goes, but that's the whole reason we got divorced. Because everything I felt was flimsy to you.
Right.
Which is so accurate. Like it was always written off as just, oh, she's being a bitch. Oh, she's being emotional.
He made no effort to ever understand Katie.
Yeah.
And never made any effort to see anything from her point of view.
Yeah. Katie goes, if Max is the one fuck up I have, you're so fucking lucky. I've been pretty fucking affable and accepting of you and letting a lot of shit go with you all over the years. And Swartz then just goes, can we shake? Like, she's here. I hate this with Swartz and how he communicates with Katie, because Katie tries to have a conversation, right? And it's just like, can we shake?
And he just tries to squash it.
Like some gesture to just like end the conversation. And he literally goes, can we start fresh and not continually delve into each other's past? That's very convenient to say when you're the one with the fucked up past.
Right.
Like, if you can just stop Swartz and allow the actual conversation to happen, this cycle can stop.
Right.
Right? But you're never letting the conversation happen.
Yeah. I mean, because people constantly want to, when we talk about Scandoval, talk about, oh, well, everybody in this friend group is cheated. No. Katie never swayed.
Yeah.
In 12 years that her and Swartz were together, never swayed once. She was faithful to that piece of shit.
Yeah.
For 12 years. She gets to go wild.
Yeah. Swartz is like, look, let's just, you know, be friends or whatever and whatever. Like, he's like, he's like rambling. He goes, let's go to go get dinner. And Katie goes, I don't want to. Like,
just, no.
And Katie's just like, no. Katie goes, until you want to make better choices. And then she goes, with like clothes and things like that, because she's shitting on his shirt that's like this like green button like collared thing. And Swartz goes, what? The shirt's great. What is this? And Katie goes, I look cool, dude. Katie did look crazy too, though, with this like jean jacket with like the like bikini t-shirts. Like,
oh yeah.
I was like, what are we doing, Katie? Katie, by the way, the reunion looks have come out. Best dressed at the reunion is Katie.
Oh yeah. And I mean, her and Ariana are neck and neck.
Yeah. And I'm so proud of Katie for having that moment where everyone was just like, Katie slayed this. Because like, part of like also the finding herself emotionally with like the Swartz loss, you could tell like there was definitely a period where she was trying to find herself style wise and sort of like, what do I like and what aesthetically.
Well, and it's hard to do that when you don't feel beautiful because your husband treats you like shit.
Right. And you're going to get a lot of misses. Like that last season, I was like, oh, don't do the beret. Like, oh, you know. Like, but like, I think she's found it finally.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud that she's found it.
Yeah.
Okay, so back in the dining room, Brock Brock being the, again, fucking messy, like asking questions, which I'm sure Sheena's told him everything. So it's like, what are you doing? He goes, time out. So Anne applied to work with you guys. Ariana then goes, and Sandoval's like in the corner, like starting to pass by. He goes, Ariana goes, so I asked her advice on assistance, and she was saying, you know, I'd also really like to work with you. Well, the attempted dog murderer was eavesdropping. And the way Sandoval looks at her with like a death stare. And Ariana doesn't flinch when she says it, by the way. She's like, yeah, the attempted like dog murderer. And when I left to go to Katie, she was crying. Brock goes, what was the attempted dog murderer? And Sandoval goes, oh, she's referring to me. All like sassy.
Well, at least he knows.
And this is where the bomb goes off. And this was, again, we were apparently supposed to hate Ariana for this, but this was satisfying as fuck to me.
Yeah.
Like, so perfect. Brock goes, what's the reference for that? And before Ariana, like, Ariana's about to say, and Sandoval cuts her off and goes, she left food out in her room. Like, already knowing the spin, right?
Right.
The spin of, like, it's her fault because she left the food out. So he goes, she left the food out of her room. And Ariana goes, you went into my room with the door closed. Don't ever fucking do that again. Like,
right.
Like, reading him the riot act. Sandoval then goes, Ariana, you haven't emptied the litter box for your cat in 2 years, which has nothing to do with the dog, by the way.
Right.
He does this a couple times here where it's like Ariana checks him, and then he reverts the conversation to like a different talking point about why Ariana sucks, right?
Right.
Because he's trying to do like she's late. I didn't show you. There's a deleted scene on the extended version where I told you a little bit of it, where Sandoval, Schwartz, and Kyle Chan go out for like drinks or something. Mm-hmm. And the way Sandoval's like, the way Ariana is just so fucking lazy. She's so goddamn lazy. I'm sure she can't even wipe her own fucking ass because she's so goddamn lazy. Like, he's really emphasizing like this, like, it's so telegraphed.
It's so funny how she's so lazy and she's booking all these gigs and she's...
Right! She says it on the after show. It's like...
Doing all of these things.
I got on Broadway. I got a book deal. And
Dancing with the Stars.
Because I'm so lazy, right?
Mm-hmm. Those are notoriously things that lazy people do.
Yeah. But he's like, you haven't emptied the litter box for your cat in like 2 years. And Ariana goes, I literally emptied the litter box when you were out of town a fucking week ago. And Sandoval goes, no, that's not true. They flashback to Ariana literally emptying the litter box a week ago. Like, which I was shocked that the producers even include that because it feels like they're attempting an Ariana takedown. So
yeah.
To just expose Sandoval's a fucking liar like that.
Yeah.
It's like, and the best part is in the deleted scene where he's like ranting about her being lazy, he goes in to clean her litter box like 2 days or whatever, which she didn't ask him to do, by the way. And literally and it's filmed, right? The camera's on him. He's just like, oh my God, really? Like performing this because
yeah.
He doesn't realize that she literally cleaned it a week ago.
Well,
and then it's on camera.
Well, and what's funny is that he will constantly, these little bitty like micro scenes, right? Where, you know, emptying the litter box, all of this stuff. He is constantly setting them up to be narrative.
Right.
He is setting a scene, painting a picture, and you can clearly tell it's bullshit because he literally, like, the next day after this fight.
Yeah. Point that
he
out.
He is taking out a trash bag that is basically empty.
Yeah.
It has like two things in the trash
bag.
But
he wanted a scene on camera of him taking out the trash because he's right. The one that does it all. He's a fucking liar. I said this on our social media. Why the fuck are we believing anything this man fucking says about literally anything else? About the finances, about the house, about her communication with the lawyer. Like, why are we believing him in terms of anything? He lies again later this fucking episode. He's trying to claim Ariana doesn't pay any bills. But then we have a scene with Ariana and Lucinda where we find out, oh, wait, this furniture I paid for, this I paid for. I totally forgot I even paid for this. Like, so, but she doesn't pay for anything.
Right.
It's all Sandoval paying for everything.
Also, we know full well that Sandoval doesn't do jack fucking shit because we have seen Anne cleaning up from his parties and doing his housework and all of this shit. So Anne was doing that.
Yeah.
he wasn't doing the fucking thing. He was walking on the thing upstairs or whatever.
Did you know? I noticed it on the rewatch, but like because you can't really tell because Sandoval and Ariana are going back and forth. When Sandoval tries to do the litter box thing, James in the background says to Sandoval, "That's like the only thing you've got to fucking say about that." So he's defending Ariana, and Lala kind of looks at him like, "James, hold on." Like it's that. Like this is already getting very intense. Ariana can handle herself, but
Ariana can handle herself, but she also needs to know that she has support.
Yeah. Ariana goes, "Should I take pictures now next time? You want to come at me for the fucking litter box when you almost killed my fucking dog? Do not go in my room. That is the only safe space I have in that home because you fucking wrecked it."
Period.
Yeah. In his confessional, Sandoval goes, "Ariana is taking a very quick jump from accident to dog murder. Maya's okay. There's no dead dog in this situation." Ooh, the fucker. Ooh, the fucker. To talk like that.
You know what the word attempted means,
yeah,
right?
She always said attempted, dude.
Like, it means not successful.
But it's like, there's no dead... So what? There's no dead dog. Because Ariana came home, found Maya, rushed her to the hospital to get her fucking stomach pumped.
Not even just that. Didn't they have to like surgically go in and remove the skewers from her esophagus? But so like, it's like
if she had arrived 30 minutes later or an hour later, because you know she's working and doing stuff, what would have happened? You would have had a dead dog.
Yeah.
Because you can't be bothered to actually be like, "Hey, where's Maya? I haven't seen Maya in a while."
Even if it was innocent, right? Even if you didn't fucking do that shit on purpose, which I don't believe because you're an evil cretin. But like, even if you want to argue that, right? You still went into her room, which you do not have any business doing.
Yeah.
If you needed to get into the room for the air conditioning or whatever,
Anne could have done
that. Anne was there. So you didn't need to fucking do that. Ariana would have been fine with Anne doing that. And you know what? Anne would have made sure that Maya was not in the room when she closed the door.
Yeah.
Ariana, but instead, you sent Anne away to do your errands so that she was not in the house to see you attempt murder on that dog.
Yeah. And it's like, whether it was intentional or not, it doesn't fucking matter. He's a fucking irresponsible.
Right.
Ariana goes, "Second of all, when I came home from..." And then Sandoval interrupts her and goes, "Why won't you respond to an email?" And Ariana goes, "Second of all..." Like,
period.
Also, again, this is what I was saying before. What does her responding to an email have to do with this guy? He's just like throwing in new jabs. This didn't work. Let me try this. This didn't work. Let me try this.
Also, she already told you her lawyer will respond to your fucking email.
Yeah. Sandoval goes, "Put on your big girl panties and respond to an email."
Excuse the fuck out of me.
I would have strangled him. And I would, and if I was a good friend of like anyone should have been in that room, I would have let her fucking do it. Ariana goes, "Stop interrupting me. My lawyer will be dealing with you, not me." And Sandoval goes, "Well, tell your lawyer to be professional." She goes, "My lawyer is professional. He is sending you an email with a very well thought out response." And Sandoval goes, "Wow, 2 months. It better be." Ariana goes, "Why are you talking to me?" Like, I was so like, he's a dickhead. He's a little fucking dickhead. Ariana goes, "You left the fucking back door open when I came home from Sir the other night. It was wide fucking open. One more fucking example of your carelessness and your fucking callousness." And Sandoval goes, "Callousness? Are you shocked? Are you...
No, he's not shocked. He doesn't know what the word means.
But also, I love that he wasn't upset with the carelessness, because of course he's careless, you know. Ariana goes, "When it comes to the house, that was my fucking dream house and my fucking children." And Sandoval goes, "Your children?" And like kind of like moves towards her. And Ariana goes, "Get the fuck away from me. Get the fuck away from me. Get the fuck away from me. Get the fuck away from me. Never fucking look at me in the eye again, you fucking piece of shit."
Ooh, I got chills.
Yeah. And Sandoval like goes out the door, but then he comes back and he goes, "Don't look at me in the eye. You already got everything, Ariana. You got all the campaigns now. You're going to take my assistant." They're all so upset about the campaigns.
Fucking jealous.
Ariana then grabs her phone and goes, "You guys, I'm being harassed. I'm going to call 911," which was a total joke. Like,
right.
She didn't mean anything by it. Sandoval then leaves out the back door from James's house and, like, gets in the car to leave. Like, because he, whatever. Then there's, like, this was amazing. There's, because Schwartz and Katie are still outside talking, right?
Uh-huh.
There's silence in the house. Then you hear a plane going over because it's James's house. And then Katie goes, "I won't fuck any more of your friends." Let's just leave it at that. So they get, Katie and Schwartz come back into the house. Lala in her confessional, this is again just like, okay, Lala, in the words of Tiffany Pollard, "You're clicking, but you're clicking down."
Yeah.
Should he have gone in the room? No, he shouldn't have. But the dog eating all this disgusting skewer meat on the side of your bed? Ariana's fault. Throw your trash away. Didn't you do a trash bag commercial? Shouldn't you know how to throw trash in the trash? Again, her weaving in the commercial is so, like, every time it's about
so
the
jealous.
Ads.
So fucking jealous.
And also, like, the way she's exaggerating this.
Yeah.
The disgusting skew. It had nothing to do with the meat being old. This was from the night before. That meat is not going to, what, get, like, germs? Or like
that's, it was just the skewers. It wasn't like she left half of the food there. The skewers still smell like the food, and the dog is still going to eat them. That's why dogs get into trash. Also, Maya has a history of getting into trash. So, yeah, it should have been clear to Sandoval that he did not need to leave her in that room.
Yeah, and also, again, these people who think, I guess, are like, I saw a tweet where it's like everyone thinks they're fucking Marie Kondo now who are anti Ariana. It's like that you've never done this before, by the way, that you've never had like leftover food, you know. But also, Ariana closes that door to her room every time she leaves and doesn't leave Maya in there.
Right.
So she's being responsible in that regard.
Right.
So, like, it's just wild to me. Schwartz goes, "That was heated." And oh, he's calling Sandoval from the car and goes, "That was heated." Sandoval goes, "Dude, she called me a dog murderer." Dude.
No, she didn't.
And then she goes, "Dude, did you see the rage that fucking comes out of her? This is what I had to deal with the entire relationship. Scary fucking rage all the time. This tells me it is a plot."
Yeah.
Dig at her, dig at her, dig at her. Make her angry, then say, "This is it. This is what I was talking about."
Yeah, it's the same shit I was talking about him doing with Joe last week.
Yeah.
It's the same shit. It is set up a situation where this person is going to react the way I want them to react. And then I get to paint a picture of this is how it always is. Look at how abusive she is.
Right. And did you notice Schwartz goes, "No comment," because Schwartz does not want to co-sign this whole Ariana was mean to me thing. Because he knows it's a lie.
Schwartz is stupid in a lot of ways, but he knows that Sandoval is full of shit.
Yeah. Ariana is going off. I love Lala has that moment in the confessional, but Ariana goes off on them and like explains, like, "This is why I don't talk to him. Literally takes zero responsibility for locking Maya in my fucking room as if it's not my own business to have something on my nightstand and shut the door and make sure she's not in there, which I responsibly do every fucking time."
Yeah.
So it's not, you're not, there's no confusion, guys. Like,
yeah.
She made it fucking clear. Lala then tells Ariana, "You're going to have a productive conversation with him." And Ariana goes, "I cannot do that." Lala goes, "It's for the well-being of your animals." Ariana goes, "I am not capable of having a productive conversation with a fucking sociopath, disgusting, psycho, narcissist, gaslighter, piece of shit fucking person."
Period.
Also, again, Lala, do you communicate with Randall?
Yeah.
About your fucking child? By my memory, you don't.
You use a co-parenting app.
Yeah. And when you do exchanges, the few times that it's on a nanny doing it, when you actually have to see Randall, you don't speak to each other. You just exchange ocean and don't talk, and that's it. So fucking do, like, handle your shit before you start throwing stones at people.
Yep.
Sheena goes, so now you two are going to go home tonight and be in that house together after this blow up. And Ariana goes, I'll set his ass on fucking fire. Like.
And notice how he isn't charred the next day.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Schwartz goes, how's the pizza? As a joke. And Ariana goes, and now I'm mad at you again by association. And the way she like stares down Schwartz while like sipping her a drink or whatever. It's just like, don't fuck with me right now, Schwartz. Don't fuck with me. It's not the fucking time. Schwartz then decides to leave. He goes, bye guys, bye guys. Katie, call me. And Katie's face is like, what? No. So it's the next morning. Katie, oh my God. Because they're getting ready for Sheena's beach day event. Katie texts Ariana, are we going to Sheena's beach day or should we just fake our deaths? I love Katie. Then we go to Sheena and Brock's house as they're taking care of Summer Moon. They talk a little bit about like needing a sitter again and all that stuff. Whatever. Like, leave. I'm with our friend Sel. Leave Brock at the house to take care of Summer Moon, and also keep his mic pack when you do it. Sheena goes, honey, did you already invite Tom to beach day? And he's like, yeah, I think I did. And Sheena goes, I need to uninvite him. And Brock goes, why?
Brock.
Yeah.
You were there last night.
Brock then goes, everyone is invited. And if she can't handle that, she shouldn't be going to places. Excuse me? And if she doesn't want to step up to the plate and figure that out, that's on her. To be that triggered by someone, you want to control your emotions. And if that's a trigger, figure out how to fix it, because what I saw was not okay. All right, now.
Last time I checked, there was one of the two of y'all that have domestic violence charges.
That would be Brock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not, Ariana doesn't have those.
No.
Just Brock. That's why he hasn't seen his kids.
But it wasn't okay. Keep in mind, like, Brock has yelled multiple times this season at Sheena.
Yep.
Like it's...
Sometimes I think it's not necessarily warranted, but sometimes it is.
Sure, but I also think Ariana's is warranted.
Right. But, like, I also think that he elevates things unnecessarily.
Yeah.
I think maybe he has the right side of things sometimes, but, like, it doesn't always have to get to yelling.
Right. Brock goes, who was the one yelling last night? And Sheena goes, Ariana, because of him. Brock goes, because he walked past her? No, not because he walked past her. He was doing digs at her.
But do you see how... See, I feel like this is a concerted effort from Brock and Sheena.
You think it's because like calculated?
Both of them take the opposite side of whoever they're talking to.
Yeah, that's true.
Why is Sheena all of a sudden now back on Ariana's side?
It was like whiplash. I'm like, oh God, Sheena's like speaking truth to things.
Like, it's so weird.
Sheena goes, here's the thing. And Brock cuts her off and goes, it's like childish stuff. Like, these are adults. And Sheena goes, do you want me to explain it to you or do you want to cut me off? I was like, okay, Sheena. And then she goes, do you understand how sometimes you just get heated real quick? And Brock goes, yes. She goes, then who the fuck are you to judge Ariana for getting heated real quick against someone she hates who did something really irresponsible that had her dog end up in the hospital?
Yeah.
When Sheena's, oh, I was like, point to Sheena. Okay. Whether, like, I do agree there's something odd about it that it's like.
I feel like they're angling for a spot on the Valley. That, to me.
Yeah.
Because the more they fight, the more that they are, quote unquote, creating good television.
Right.
And when this tank, or when this boat sinks, they get to climb onto that one.
Brock goes, for her to not accept his apology, it's not condoning his actions. What apology?
Also, you don't have to accept someone's apology.
Right, exactly.
She can just go, you know what? Fuck you. I never want to see you again.
Yeah.
And that is totally valid.
Brock goes, she should do it for her own sanity. And Sheena goes, she's not there. So she's not there. But then again, Sheena's weird in the confessional because she goes, What Sandoval did is the best thing that's ever happened to Ariana. It's brought so much prosperity and wealth and happiness and opportunities. But I'm afraid if I say anything to Ariana about moving past this hatred, she's going to cut me off.
Can we, like, get rid of this notion that women have to forgive their abusers?
Yeah.
In order to, quote unquote, move on. Forgiveness is not required.
Right. But that's the other thing, is like, they don't view it as abuse. They view it as just part of the friend group. And it's like, that's so toxic. Like, that's so toxic.
Like, it's just, we have put this narrative out into the world that in order to heal from something, you have to forgive your abuser. You have to forgive the person who did you wrong. No. You don't actually have to.
Yeah.
You need to stop actively putting energy into that hatred. That requires healing. But you don't have to forgive.
Yeah.
You don't have to forget. You don't have to do anything
sometimes
but move
healthier
on with your life.
Sometimes it's healthier to not forget.
Right.
You know?
Like, she owes him no amount of forgiveness.
Yeah. And he's done nothing to earn it. Like,
correct.
Also, the other thing, Ariana, we do, like I mentioned, there's a quick scene with Ariana and her interior designer, Lucinda, going over all the furniture that's literally itemized out. And Lucinda went through all the receipts to see, like, what Ariana paid for, et cetera. Again, I get that it's a television show, but the only person we're seeing actually moving forward, getting out of the house and moving forward with this process is Ariana.
Right.
The only one actually doing the actual work, as Sandoval just runs on his treadmill a bunch.
Yeah.
And Ariana says her confessional, suffering through the water tasting has made it more clear that I have to get out of this house as soon as possible. So she's Lala, did you listen to that? She's trying to get out of the house. It may not be going as fast as you would like it to, but she's trying to get out of the house.
Yep.
It's not that hard. Okay, we go to Sheena's beach day. Everyone starts slowly arriving. Allie asks if Sandoval is coming, and Ariana goes, I mean, when I was getting ready to leave, he had his little stripy crochet thing in the dryer, so probably. And then, of course, he shows up in it. I love that she was like, I know he's going to wear this douchey-ass fucking thing to the beach.
Well, isn't this the same one that he was wearing when him and Jax, like there was another beach day when Jax, like, confronts him about something?
Maybe. Yeah. I think so.
I think he wears it every time they go to the fucking beach.
Yeah. Oh my God. So everyone's arriving. Sandoval's there. Well, Lala is not there yet. She has, like, a dentist appointment for Ocean, but then she's coming. James break. I do like when James does it, I think it's really funny to, like, break the tension. He goes, okay, so for today at the beach, here's the rules. I'm drawing a line in the sand. And he goes, he's like, Ariana on this side, Sandoval on this side. Don't cross the line.
And people laughed. It broke the tension. I think, you know, it helped.
Yeah. So Sandoval is, like, talking. He's, like, whispering to the guys on his side, but he's, like, vocal enough to where the other side can hear it. Sandoval goes, so guys, like, I was out the other night and I met this girl who puts on singles events in LA. And Ariana is just, like, in her phone trying to just ignore them. Sheena goes, what's that? Brock goes, they're doing, like, a singles event. Ariana is trying so hard to just, like,
right.
Again, this is where it was just like a buildup of them poking and poking and poking and poking at Ariana.
Mm-hmm.
And Schwartz then goes, Katie, you want to come? Do you want to be my date?
To us, you know the point of a singles event, right?
He's just trying to, be a dickhead. And Brock goes, she's going to go in and leave with somebody and you're going to be stuck there. And Schwartz goes, as long as it's not Max. Katie goes, that already happened. I love that Katie's laughing it off because, again, like, whatever. Schwartz then goes, you know, ironically, I feel like it's brought us closer together. And Katie goes, how? Schwartz goes, we're the same, Katie. And Katie goes, we are not the same.
Abso-fucking-lutely not.
I'm going to stop that right there. She goes, because you were getting it the entire time that we were together. Schwartz then goes, From a statistical standpoint, I was pretty faithful.
This bitch broke out a calculator and was trying to figure out how many days he cheated on Katie out of their marriage.
And it's like, Schwartz, do you realize it's supposed to be zero? 0 days that you cheat on your partner.
It's not that hard. It's so not hard.
Yeah. Katie then goes, hey, Sandoval, did you know that they kissed in Vegas about Schwartz and Sheena? Sandoval then goes, yeah, I didn't know about that.
And he, like, acts really shocked. And then we get a flashback.
To Schwartz and Lala, where Schwartz tells Lala this, and Schwartz goes, I mean, apparently, like, I told Tom when it happened, like, and I completely forgot. We were ripping the other day. Again, he lies like he breathes.
Nothing out of this man's mouth is the truth.
It's just so fucking frustrating. Why it's even a question. Katie goes, yeah, I guess, Sheena, you took that to the grave. Sheena then goes, I literally forgot about it. I burned that shit. Almost every guy in this group has been flirty with me at some point. You included, pointing at Sandoval. Says this right in front of Ariana. What the fuck are you doing, Sheena? Almost every guy's been flirting with. Oh my God, you tried.
And then Sandoval comes back with, well, it was more that you were flirting with me or something.
More like a recipient of flirtiness. And then Brock goes, is that what you told Raquel when you guys started the whole thing? I was like, go fuck yourself, Brock.
It was a good read, except for the fact that it was in front of Ariana.
Right in front of Ariana.
That was distasteful.
Who has been trying multiple times to just ignore these comments and ignore these. And just like, again, like, why? Like, you're doing all this stuff and then she rages and then you're blaming her for the rage. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
I'm fucking sick of it. Because fucking Ariana has to go, can you have this conversation not in front of me? Because it's fucking disgusting. Sandoval goes, let's do that. And Ariana goes, well, that's on you. Sandoval goes, that's not on me. I didn't bring this up. Ariana goes, yeah, well, the conversation subject matter is disgusting because of you. So maybe have it somewhere else.
This conversation started because you brought up singles night.
Yeah, exactly. This is why the whole, like, he acts so fucking innocent. Katie then goes, hey, Sandoval, Anne, like, I heard that she's out of a job. Sandoval then goes, I didn't say that to her. Sheena goes, you didn't fire her? Sandoval goes, I didn't fire her. And Ariana goes, interesting. Because he did fire her.
Yeah.
He 100% fired her.
Yep.
He goes, I told her, like, let's take a couple days off. Fuck off. You're such a bad liar. It's so bad. James, I was confused because I was like, okay, some of these are also like Brock also prodding. But James, I think also, he maneuvers in a way that's interesting. James goes, wait, so who's looking after Maya when Anne's not there? And Ariana goes, I mean, Anne's not like Maya's sitter. Like, that's not her job, basically. James goes, and also you can leave a dog in the house by themselves if you do the proper.
Honestly.
James goes, do you feel like she's safe? And Ariana goes, I do currently right now. Because that, she's basically saying, because
he's not home.
Yeah. Schwartz goes, look, you guys are both great dog and cat parents, which he's not.
No.
The way he talks. Okay. Also, the way he talks in the Sandoval talks in the after show about the dog. I made a whole TikTok about it. You can watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's sick. It's sociopathic. I don't use that term lightly. Just the way you talk about animals, I think, speaks so much to your emotional depth. And it's like, he's like, I had like paintballs on the ground. You ain't paintballs of all things. You can't have paintballs on the ground. No, you can't. It's a fucking dog.
They are bright and colorful and look like candy. Kids will eat them too, you idiot.
Yeah. Ariana then goes, well, I'm a dog and cat parent. They're mine. James then turns to Sandoval and goes, do you agree with her when she says the pets are hers? Sandoval like pauses for 2 seconds and goes, no. And I was like, fuck you. Fuck you, you fucking asshole. You don't care a goddamn about that fucking dog. You know it's fucking hers. You have no interest in keeping that fucking dog for yourself. But you're only fucking saying it now to get under her skin.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that, like, you, if he was that upset, he would have put aside all of this shit with Ariana to be at the animal hospital with them.
He didn't even go to the fucking hospital.
He would have you know, offered to pay for half of the vet bill, which he didn't, was $6,000 out of Ariana's pocket. So, like, fuck off.
Yeah, he doesn't give a goddamn fucking shit about that fucking dog. And I'm not going to be fucking told otherwise. Ariana goes, I paid the adoption fee, so I bought her. James then tells Sandoval, are you going to fight for her? And Sandoval goes, James, I don't know, man. Because he's not. He's not going to fight for her. But also being like, I don't know. He wants to leave. Like, he wants to put it over Ariana's head. I could maybe sue you for the dog. And maybe, like.
But he also says it in such a way that he's, like, feigning this defeated attitude.
Yeah.
Like, I've just been fighting for so long, and I'm just tired. I don't know if it's worth it anymore. Fuck you.
Yeah. Allie's like, well, Ariana paid for the adoption fee, so. And Sandoval goes, it was the one bill that Ariana did pay. Fucker.
We still haven't seen any receipts from you.
And we know that she's bought multiple pieces of furniture for the house. So.
Yep.
In her confessional, Ariana goes, Maya's my dog. I pay for everything that has to do with her. I'm the only one that's taken her for a walk. I'm the only one that's ever given her a bath. Suck my dick.
Yeah.
I love that she channeled Kristen on that, by the way. Sandoval then goes, according to your rules, Ariana, since you applied for the adoption papers and paid for it, since, I don't know, my friend found the house and she just goes, don't speak to me. Stop speaking to me. Stop speaking to me. Stop speaking to me. As he continues to, like,
yep,
try to hammer her. And she goes, he goes, you're speaking to me. No, she fucking isn't. Ugh. Sandoval then says in his confessional, I had this delusional idea that we would be even more civil than Tom and Katie. Like, that ain't nothing. Watch how civil Ariana and I will be. Yeah, delusional. Correct. You are fucking delusional for saying that. You are fucking delusional if you even fucking thought that, because you know what was the thing that prevented any fucking chance of you having a civil breakup with you, with you and her? Fucking Raquel for 7 months.
Yeah. You know what could have made this breakup really great? Is if after you and Raquel hooked up that first time, you came in the house and said, hey, Ariana, we need to talk.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know what? It would have been rough and Ariana would have been pissed.
Like, you're, and it's like,
but it would have been over real quick.
It's like your idea, Sandoval, of a civil breakup, just to keep in mind, his idea of a civil breakup was lying to Ariana, never telling her the truth about Raquel, making it look like she was the fucking bad guy in the relationship, breaking up with her at the reunion or after that, and then a couple, little bit long later, dating Raquel as if it was a new thing. That was his idea of a civil breakup.
Right, but it also would have required Ariana to just capitulate on every point and just walk away with nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sandoval then walks off and leaves as Lala then arrives. And I love Ariana going, I want him to literally get eaten by sharks. Ariana is just done with these people. Done. Yeah. And I get it, because they've been poking her the whole fucking day.
Yeah.
She goes, literally, he sits there and talks shit. He's the one that ruined my entire fucking life. Can you keep him away from me? And Brock goes, we've done that. He's over there with his tail between his legs. What?
It's awful vicious for tail between his legs, but go off.
Ariana goes, not between his legs, because he's talking shit. And Brock goes, under his voice. And Ariana goes, well, we can hear it.
Yeah.
He feels very comfortable talking shit, and none of you guys put him in check. And it's really fucking disrespectful.
Yeah.
Not, like, seriously, no moment are they like, Sandoval, stop. Sandoval, stop. And there were multiple moments to do that.
Well, and what I really like about this is how she's like, it is up to you men to put a stop to this, because he does not respect women. He does not listen to women.
He's like, you have to be the one to say, shut the fuck up, because he's a misogynist. He requires men, because that's the only one he respects, to put him in his place and say, dude, you got to shut the fuck up and fucking take it, because you're the one in the wrong. And then Brock goes, you think he's not taking it? He left. That's not taking it. And by the way, as this is happening, Sandoval's watching them on the others. And it's like he's surveying the damage he caused, right? He's surveying the chaos and the muck that he caused.
He's getting off on it.
I almost saw a smile. Lala goes, Lala, who has not heard anything, right, of this conversation, goes, you also have to remember he's going to be in defense mode. Ariana goes, I don't care. Tell him to shut the fuck up. And then goes, Lala, I don't need you to play devil's advocate. Lala goes, I don't think I'm playing devil's advocate. Ariana goes, the devil has enough advocates. Lala goes, I don't think I'm playing devil's advocate. Ariana goes, he's the devil and you're being his advocate.
Literally.
It's not that fucking hard. Lala then says her confessional, I understand he was an Uber douche. Like, this was the most devastating breakup. But at what point do you choose inner peace? He didn't win. Look at his life. You won. It's not about winning. It's not about winning. It's not about, again, brand deals or money or success.
It's not even been 6 months.
Yes. And you're expecting her to just choose inner peace?
Okay.
Ariana goes off at the end, and it was so satisfying. She goes, he is never going to be sorry, remorseful, or one fucking iota of any of that. And you guys keep shoving him down my fucking throat. And what do you think I'm going to do? Sit here and have the best fucking beach day ever? I have to sit here like this and hear his jabs at me? What do you expect?
Yeah.
It's like, finally. This is what they needed to fucking hear. They aren't going to fucking listen. But this is what they needed to fucking hear. Stop fucking torturing her like this, because it's not just him doing it now, it's fucking you guys. Team Ariana. That was a lot.
Yeah,
it was a lot of an episode. That was Vanderpump Rules for this week. Let's take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're talking the newest episode of The Valley. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm the Riz.
And, you know, Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Mayhem.
That's right.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And if you're anything like us, you live your life out loud.
And when it comes to issues of discrimination, inequity, and outright bigotry, we use every platform we have to speak out against systems of oppression that perpetrate violence against marginalized groups.
That's why we are so proud to wear designs from the Survivors Know merch store. Their team has created designs that feature unapologetic, empowering, and survivor-centered messaging that range from mild,
like accountability is love and toxicity is not on the menu,
to a little more spicy,
like one of my favorites, fuck your laws, fuck your system, transformative justice now, which has a cute little happy flower on it.
Each design is available on a variety of items, from t-shirts and hoodies to bags, blankets, magnets, and even stickers. And as more items become available, the options will continue to grow.
100% of the proceeds go back into supporting the amazing work done at Survivors Know to support survivors, workers, and survivor advocates by organizing, challenging the status quo, and creating alternatives to the systems that fail us.
Support Survivors Know by shopping today at survivorsknow.threadless.com.
That's survivorsknow.threadless.com.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at sidekickmediaservices.com.
Welcome back to A Gay and a Zimby. Let's head back to the Valley, where we witnessed the worst game of telephone imaginable conclude in Jesse bringing up Kristen's irrelevant past to deflect from his and Michelle's very relevant present on the Valley.
The Valley. This show is good.
It's so good.
This was the most chaotic, insane, like, wildest drama I've maybe ever seen in a while, at least in a good fucking while.
We've got a big miscommunication between friends. We've got liars who have caused all of this drama in the middle, just with Pikachu surprised face. And I just, it's good shit. So it's good.
So we were definitely very firm in both of our positions, like together on like the first watch of the episode. It'll be interesting to kind of go through this. I will say when I watched it on the rewatch, I don't think anyone is fully in the clear. I think everyone has a part to play that is a little suspect to me. Except for I'm with Janet. I don't think Janet is lying.
Here's the thing. I don't think Janet is lying. I think Zach is probably the biggest perpetrator here. I think he exaggerated a fuck ton.
I still kind of have that sense, yeah.
I tweeted about this, I think the day after it aired or something. And we'll talk about it when we get there.
Okay. Yeah, I think once we go through this episode, it'll be interesting to see. So we start the episode like with a cold open, and Jax and Brittany and her mom are at this like farmer's market with Cruz or whatever. And her mom goes off at one point with Cruz. So Brittany and Jax talk about the night before, about guys' night and about the girls' night. I love the way that they also did this, where Jax is just like, yeah, I went kind of crazy. You know, Alex showed up and Luke was like, why would I give this guy a chance? Why would I want to be friends with the ex of my girlfriend? And they're doing the thing where it's like they show the clip as if like Jax is like literally voicing over the exact. And it was so exact because Brittany does the Kristen one where she was like, are you fucking kidding me? I don't want my ex-boyfriends around me and my family.
I really liked this because it was hilarious hearing Brittany's accent coming out of Kristen's mouth.
Yeah, but it was so clear they did it in post.
Yeah.
Because they can't, to get it so perfectly exactly what they said, you know. And then so we see flashes of what happened at the end of the girls' night. We don't see the actual everything that played out, which I kind of found slightly
sus
and frustrating, because I don't know how we got from Brittany saying, and you're not stirring things up, Kristen? You're not?
Right. Why did Kristen bring this up?
Yeah. And then, yeah, why did Kristen initiate and say, oh, so you're talking about, like, what? Like, that doesn't make sense. You had to get somewhere. And then Brittany then goes to Jax, what happened, which is that Kristen starts bringing up that Janet told Jasmine that Michelle was racist and a Republican. And I was like, wow, that's the drama. I thought it was going to be something light about just like, I saw Michelle with, and it was not light, but like, I saw Michelle with some guy, or, you know what I mean? Like some like natural, like, no, she says she's racist and she's a Republican.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah. So Kristen apparently says this at the thing. Jasmine gets pissed and goes, you are not going to say that Janet told me that she was a racist. Like, gets in Kristen's... Jasmine's fucking angry, by the way.
Well, and what's... So this apparently went from Janet observing something or hearing something or whatever. We get a more of an explanation later. From Michelle.
Yeah.
To then Janet making a comment to Jasmine, who then makes a comment
to Zach,
who then makes a comment to Kristen.
Well, that's the thing, because Jasmine's like...
This went through so many hands.
Yeah, Jasmine's telling Kristen, because she thinks it's like, Kristen's alleging, I, Jasmine, told Kristen this. And Kristen goes, no... That's what Zach told me. And then we cut to Zach in the kitchen going, I never said that, Michelle. I never said that. I'm still working on my Zach voice, but it's like...
Cut to him a few seconds later going, yes, you are completely correct.
Well, but okay. So I'm still... It's still confusing. Zach definitely puts... I think Zach put some sauce on it that was not there. I think he's the he's the source of the sauce. But I'm confused as to what the sauce was. Like, it's
he privately seems to admit to Kristen that she didn't embellish anything.
Yeah.
That she said exactly what he said. And he even to the point, even to the point that when Kristen and Brittany are talking about it, that they then call him and put him on speakerphone.
Right.
He also admits in that moment that that is what he said.
And that makes it seem so weird later when Zach is not copping to it. You know what I mean?
It's right.
Like you're saying one thing.
And also Brittany's not bringing it up either.
That you cop to it. So it's like, what's happening here? It was confusing. I think, again, on the rewatch, I noticed a couple things that I was like, oh, okay. So then we cut to Jesse and Michelle at their house, and Michelle is telling Jesse about all this stuff that happened and how upsetting it was, and just like, I don't know what the hell it came from with like Janet. Jesse goes, talking about Kristen, what the fuck is wrong with her? And her their daughter Isabella is at the kitchen table, and she goes, calm down.
She's playing on her leapfrog or whatever.
Yeah, and Jesse's like, no, I know, I shouldn't say. And she goes, fuck. Jesse goes, look, I'm sorry, we don't say that word. And Isabella goes, you say it every day. Sassy little girl. I love her. Call out your fucking dickhead dad.
Read your father.
Yeah. Michelle. Okay. So this is where I'm like, okay, Michelle. Michelle goes, Janet wouldn't say that or else she wouldn't be my friend. And hello, I'm the one that's first generation Mexican, first generation Persian. And Jesse adds later that her dad like fled Iran because of like religious or her grandfather maybe for religious persecution. None of those things
exempt you from like
any of that. Here's the thing. I don't know. Well, the Janet thing I'll talk about it more with the Janet thing when Janet explains her side. So Jesse then goes, you should call Janet and be like, did you fucking say that? He says fuck again right after. It's like, Jesus Christ. Michelle then FaceTimes Janet and tells her about last night. And that Kristen says that you said that I was raised that. But I don't know if she said the telephone, but that you said that I was racist and a Republican. Janet goes, what? That's complete bullshit. That makes me furious with her. That word in your name has never come out of my mouth. Which I think I believe is true.
Sure.
When we get to the story later. Janet kind of really illuminates a lot of things for me in terms of Kristen, which I think puts some interesting things on it. She says in her confessional, Kristen and I have been close for years. And about a year ago, I had to put up a boundary with Kristen because her relationship with Alex was so up and down that it was making my head spin. And she didn't like that. And it feels like when she has any opportunity to throw me under the bus, she does. So Janet thinks this is the fact that Janet's like, this is a pattern with Kristen, with me.
But why did you put up a...
She like, said she...
If things were bad with Alex...
Well...
If it was a situation where you saw, oh, well, my friend is going through something toxic... I get where you would go, hey, like, this is hurting me to a certain point, but why would you not, like, try to intervene?
Well, she explains that. She does explain that.
I missed that.
Michelle tells Janet, it's interesting that she said that when you were the only person not there that night, thinking she's just pulling it out. Like, because I think they don't, but I also think Janet doesn't fully understand even what happened to where they're trying to like brainstorm why the hell would Kristen say that. And Janet goes, I mean, to wait until her sick pregnant friend isn't around to throw out a huge accusation like that, fuck her. And they cut to Isabella's face because Janet
like, oh, well, Michelle's gonna say fuck now too.
At least Janet didn't know her daughter was there, right?
Yeah.
Michelle then brings up how Kristen brought this out after being triggered by Alex being at Guy's Night, right? That it came after that. And Janet goes, what I think is she does not want Alex's side of the breakup shared, especially with Luke. And then she says in her confessional, this is what I'm talking about, Kristen's opinion on Alex changed pretty quickly as soon as she met Luke. She seems to think that he's a narcissist. He was horrible. All of their relationship issues were his fault. But I'm like, I've seen you do things in that relationship that were wrong, and I've heard you tell me you made a huge mistake. So when she changed this narrative to Alex is the villain and she's the victim, it made me look and go, we all know that's not true. And so that's, she's saying that's kind of why she put up the boundary. Because here's the thing. This is not new with Kristen. If this is all true, this is not new with Kristen. Stassi and Katie had to do the same thing when she was with Carter.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and because they didn't know the truth. They didn't, because it's like Kristen's telling us that he's like terrible and being abusive and being nasty to him. But then like we're in a group setting and we're supposed to all love on Carter. And she's like, why aren't you supporting him? And it's like bipolar back and forth. And it's like,
yeah.
How the fuck am I supposed to be your friend then?
Yeah, that's fair. But I would sit down and talk to her about that and be like, look, you're saying one thing and then you're saying another thing. And I really want to support you and I want to be your friend and I want to make sure that you're not in a toxic situation.
Right.
But I also want to make sure that I'm operating on accurate information and I don't know that I can trust information from you right now.
See, I feel like Janet has them, like at least what I'm getting from her, that she has had those conversations and Kristen doesn't take well to it.
Sure, but then tell us that.
Sure. Michelle says her confessional, look, I know a lot of people who are not nice to Kristen. I've been her friend and this is how she repays me, like by saying this thing. Because it does hurt Michelle in terms of, even whether it's like Janet said this, but like you're also putting this on television. And I as much as the way that Jesse brings it up later is fucking nasty and ridiculous, I am partly like, Kristen, why would you even say this if you knew there was a possibility that this shit could get brought back to you and your old shit? Why even make this? I'm still confused as to why. Like, again, maybe it's stuff that we didn't see from the party, but it's like I'm confused as to why Kristen even said this.
I am. Partially, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
but also, Kristen has had to do a lot of growing since the whole faith thing happened.
Right.
Right. To the point that she has talked about having gone to unconscious bias training. She, you know, made up with faith.
Someone was like, saying that like faith forgave her at a certain point. I can't remember.
Well, they show a headline on the show that she apologized to Faith.
Yeah.
I don't know what became of that apology.
Right. I'm just, and I'm not, and I'm with Chris. I do think Chris, well, even though Kristen says something that makes me roll my eyes slightly, we'll get to it. But it was like, I moved on in terms, and it's, I get, right. I'm a white person. So it's like, what, like, but like.
But part of it is I can't be more mad than the person who was hurt.
Sure.
By what she did.
I'm just saying it may be like, unless you really, 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 really got to bring it up with the Michelle thing, I wouldn't have even touched it.
But then isn't it her job as a white person who is striving to be better and be a better ally to black people in her vicinity?
But that's not what that is, because she doesn't, she's like, I don't believe Michelle's racist. It wasn't about Michelle being racist. It was about Janet saying these things. So,
here's the thing, though. I do believe Michelle's probably racist.
Okay, so it's, the jury is out. The jury is not out on Jesse, because literally as this was happening, I went to both their Instagrams. Michelle, if there was anything on it, had the wherewithal to clear it, which apparently Jesse didn't, which I thought was strange because he knew this stuff was going to come out on the show.
Yeah.
Go look at Jesse. Type TRU in Jesse's follows. I'll just say that. But that's, it's not, I understand what you're trying to say, but it's like, I don't think that's what Kristen, it was more about like,
it was more about pointing the finger at Janet.
The offense was spreading the idea that Michelle could be racist, not that Michelle and possibly could be racist.
But, and that also leads back to the frustrating thing of, why is it more offensive to be called a racist than to be a racist.
That, Kristen says something to that effect at the end of the episode where I was like, what are we doing here?
Like, so let's just get to it, right? What Janet actually said.
Well, let me.
Because we keep dancing around it, and it's like, let's just get there.
Let's just say, it seemingly had nothing to do with race.
Sure.
Okay. Let's just wait. Jesse then says, after Michelle gets off the phone with Janet, what does being a Republican have to do with it anyways? And Michelle goes, like, I'm not a Republican, which is like, even if I was, like, who gives a fuck? Spoken like a Republican.
Also dropped the F-bomb right in front of her daughter.
Yeah. Again. And it was like, the fact that it was also like the Republican thing was also very like fascinating to me. Of just like,
right.
It wasn't even just the race. It was the Republican thing.
Like, right. Like Zach says it in a confessional later, like, that's a death sentence in LA. Like, socially, you will never be invited to anything anymore.
It's like, also, he's in real estate. Like, Jesse's in real estate. You know who's also in real estate in LA? Fucking Mauricio. And I'm sorry, spoiler alert, look at Mauricio's follows on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, so, come on. I don't know. Okay, so we then see Kristen and Luke moving into their new apartment, which is right down the hall. And she's like, it's bigger. It didn't even look that much bigger to me.
Yeah.
She said she's paying like $74 more, but like...
who knows?
I wouldn't have gone through the effort. Kristen says, there's room to play. We have entire drawers of sex toys. I didn't need to know that, Kristen. I also probably already knew that about you.
Probably.
So they're talking about everything, and Kristen goes, we literally just had this talk with Jax. I don't care if you're friends with Alex. Just don't bring him around me or Luke or my family. And Luke's like, the only saving grace of the night was he pulled me aside first, which, like, yeah, if he didn't, that would have been bad.
Yeah.
Really fucking bad. Kristen goes, I was so fucking upset when Brittany told me. I felt like I was backed into a corner and just fucking reacted. And Kristen then says, this is what I was like, I'm confused by. She goes, she's like, what Jax did was so fucking fake. If Jax is going to pull shit like that, I'm going to start calling people out on their bullshit. Okay, but that's irrational. Like, because it wasn't a big... Jax did something bad to me, so I'm going to call out Janet, Michelle, Zach, and Jax. What? What did they do? Kristen.
I feel like this is just chaotic, Kristen.
Yeah. Kristen then tries to explain it. She goes, before production started, there was a lot of shit talking going on within our group. Everybody's going to talk about this behind closed doors, and then filming starts, the cameras go up, and we're going to pretend like it didn't happen. So that's also confusing to me, because then it's like, so is this not just a game of telephone? Was this then being like discussed with like other people?
That's why I'm confused.
Right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, that's weird to me. And also it wasn't, it's like you just started filming. It's like you couldn't, how fake could you be, right? Like
right.
You've had fucking like one party and I don't know. Kristen goes, Zach, this also was like, okay, Kristen. She goes, Zach was upset that I spoke about things that he told me in confidence. And she puts confidence in air quotes, which I'm like, what is that doing?
What does that mean?
Like, you, yes, if you
did he say, I don't want you to tell anything, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
According to Zach, he did. And so, like, yes, that's in confidence. He goes, but he knows better when it's a Janet thing. I know in his deep down, Zach really wanted me to light a fire. What does that mean, Kristen?
Well, I mean, maybe if... I think maybe she's saying he knows the history between me and Janet.
And knows that by telling me.
It's going to come out.
But like, what the fuck? Like, that's also weird on both your parts.
But then also, he would tell you that wanting him to get off scot-free from it.
Yeah.
He would not tell you that wanting you to expose the line between you and back right. to Janet.
Kristen goes, I feel awful for bringing Michelle into any of the bullshit that Janet started. So she's pissed at Janet. It's
like, yeah.
Maybe
it does have more to do with Janet than anything
that's
else.
That's where I'm like, Kristen is not fully clean on this.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's something malicious about it. And I'm
like, Janet seems to be like the best person on this cast.
Right, exactly. And then Kristen is like crying a little bit and Luke like touches up her eye and Kristen goes, do I look like a $2 hooker with mascara under my eyes? And Luke goes, at least like 20,000 an hour. And Kristen goes, that's so sweet. Man. There's a quick scene we won't talk too much about. Danny and Nia at her house. Nia is going out for work, like out of town or whatever. So Danny is having to take care of the kids. So she's prepping him on everything. Like you have to defrost the formula and you have to like do all this stuff. It's kind of like they're really just the perfect couple. Like it's really just like so sweet and nice and just like down to earth.
There was something so sexy about seeing him wear that
the Bjorn
on his chest. It's like, God damn it, you're a good dad.
Yeah. The only thing I'll note about this, because we were all, and it comes up with Jesse later, because Jesse talks about going to Capri with Michelle. Nia goes, I mean, like the trips before the kids, like the Maldives, Bali, all across Southeast Asia.
We get it, you're rich. Shut up.
Oh my God, they're so rich.
I'd like to go down the street. Like, that would be nice.
Can I have one vacation?
One would be lovely.
But also, like, when we get to the party later, I was saying this to you. There's such a contrast between the new people and the old people. The new people have so much fucking money and it's so like they present as though they have so much fucking money.
Yeah.
And then you have Kristen in this like tiny ass fucking apartment.
Yeah.
Jax and Brittany, even though they have a house, it's not like,
yeah,
it's so disparate to me.
Yeah. Well, and it's weird because it's like, we've also seen Kristen and Jax and Brittany on Vanderpump, you know, for as long as they were on Vanderpump. And so we saw them at, you know, living off of service wages.
Yeah.
Also their money from the show. But like, you know, at a certain point, it's like, that's still kind of broke.
Yeah.
Like that's a very relatable service industry, shitty ass wages.
Right.
So we've seen you. We know how little money you were making for however long that was.
Yeah.
You're not at the same level. You're the poor friends. Like, you're not, it's not the same.
Later, yeah.
Something here is not the same.
Like, literally, especially when they get to the house for the dinner, it's just like, wow, God. It's like Beverly Hillbillies at this point. Like,
although it does seem like Jax and Brittany spend all of their money on decorations.
For sure.
For parties.
Speaking of Jax, he drives his golf cart. Why was he in a fucking golf cart? To his sports bar that he is opening, which also illuminates, because Jax then goes, so I'm very fortunate where I don't have to put up a bunch of money. I have three partners that are footing the bill. I haven't invested anything. So, okay, so you slapped your name on it.
To be fair,
he acts like
at this time, Randall owed him a fuck ton of money.
Right, but he was also acting like he was opening this bar just like Sandoval and Schwartz were. It's like, no, you weren't. No, not really. If you're putting no money down, like, and you just have these investors leading everything.
To be fair, Sandoval didn't put fuck down either. Ooh, his parents sure did.
That part. That fucking part. And then Jax goes, to be honest, bars destroy marriages. When Tom and Tom opened up their bar, they weren't involving their significant others. Can we stop with this narrative that the bar broke up their marriage and their relationship? That's not what it was.
Schwartz and Sandy's did not make Sandoval fuck Raquel.
No.
In fact, Sandoval was barely involved in that shit. Schwartz was doing it all on his own.
And it also frustrates me so much as well, because you know Jax is about to use that for the excuse with the separation with Brittany.
Yeah, even though Brittany has put that to rest on Watch What Happens Live. She was like, maybe it had a little bit to do with it, but that wasn't it.
Oh, Brittany told all on Watch What Happens Live.
There was rivers of tea being spilled on that stage, and I was here for every second of it.
Yeah. And then, oh my God, the fucking contrast. So he's interviewing for people for the bar, like with his staff or whatever. It was such an amazing guy. This like normal woman, like I homely is like maybe a harsh word, but just like,
but like average everyday person,
probably like in her 40s or whatever, comes in with a full resume, full letters of recommendation, all of her certifications, like for like bar training and all that stuff, comes in fully prepared. And then this chick, like, Miranda then walks in, and Jax is like, like, fucking, like.
It's like, I.
And she's like, hi.
You talking about the girl with all the tattoos?
No, the tattoo girl actually knew what she was. This
yeah,
was
just, I loved her.
The one, no, yeah, she was great. The one before was just like a pretty, even though the tattoo girl, they kind of made it seem like Jackson's gonna fuck her. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
honestly,
I was like, oh, this is weird. But like the other girl, Jackson's confessional goes, this gal decided not wear a bra. And then he looks off camera and goes, did we hire her? And it's like, that's what's gonna break up your marriage, you fucker. Like,
yeah. I mean, look. At least he had the decency when he noticed it to then navigate his eyes upward and not glare. That's still better than Nick is doing on Martha's Vineyard. Yeah. At least Jax has learned that one thing. It's bare bottom of the barrel behavior. Like, the bar is under the ground at this point.
Yeah. We then go to Brittany and Kristen meeting up to, like, get something to drink to talk about everything. Brittany goes, Janet is real pissed off right now. Kristen goes, at who? Brittany goes, at you. And Kristen goes, why? And she, like, sips her tea, like
just, Kristen, you know why she's mad at you.
This is her. And then Kristen, like, because they're talking about, like, Brittany's like, well, say, like, racism. Kristen goes, really? You think this is a topic I want to talk about? Like, Kristen kind of, like, acknowledging without acknowledging, like, I don't want this, like, kind of anticipating that this could get brought up her shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kristen goes, you know, I spat out shit that wasn't my place to say. And Brittany's like, well, that's good that you're owning that, you know, and all that. Brittany then says her confessional, I don't think Kristen does anything on purpose to hurt people, but she just does things sometimes. She's a lot like Jax in that way. Oh, so you,
no, I think Jax is calculated. Yeah. I think Kristen blurts things out and then goes, I shouldn't have done that. Sure. That was stupid. Jax goes, I'm going to do this stupid thing. And then everybody goes, no, you shouldn't do that. And he goes, I'm going to do it. And then he hits the button. Everything explodes. And he goes, oh, no.
Yeah.
I did the thing.
So Brittany and Kristen then decide to call Zach, right, to sort of, like, get this shit, like, dealt with. Kristen goes, I am wildly confused why you were denying the stuff that you told me. Zach then goes, what part are you referring to? Kristen goes, Janet told Jasmine that Michelle Lolly was a Republican and that she should be careful. Zach goes, the Republican thing was said, but that does not mean racism, and I never said that. That's confusing. But, like, why would, like...
So now you're partially admitting that what you said was true.
Yeah. Kristen, but Kristen says he specifically said racism because she goes, why would I use the fucking R word, Zach, unless it's what you said to me? Don't throw me under the bus. And then I love that Zach goes, oh my God, you're the bus driver, Kristen. You're the one driving over all the dead bodies. Which I'm like, he was right on, like, don't throw me under the bus, Zach. And Kristen goes, and Zach's just like, you threw me under the fucking bus. Like, what are you talking about? I didn't throw you under the bus for shit. Like, at least at this point, you know what I mean? Maybe at the dinner he does, but, like, at this point, it's like, what are you talking about? He goes, you're twisting everything. I'm not saying there wasn't something that happened, but what you did is take something very simple that I was talking about behind the scenes because I was like, oh, that's weird. You don't just blurt out that stuff and accuse someone of saying that someone's racist like that.
We'll continue, and when we get to what Janet, when Janet explains what she actually said, then I will go through my theory of what happened.
Right.
And why I don't think any of it matters.
Brittany goes, I agree with you on it. Brittany goes, I think it's the point that you brought it up at the party. And Zach's like, yes, that's the point. And Kristen goes, rather than it be that you guys were talking shit and bringing it to my front door and I was the only one to say it out loud. Like, Kristen, I'm confused. I want to know what the, was it just like this, someone mentioned this and that happened? Or was it like being talked about and talked about and talked about and discussed ad nauseum within the group? That Kristen's kind of saying, right?
Right.
Because those are two different things.
Well, I think maybe Kristen is talking about not necessarily this one thing was discussed, but I think that there's barbs being thrown behind people's backs constantly. This is one of the things.
Right.
Because if you will remember from the preview for the show, before the show came out, there was like this argument that happens in a hallway at a hotel.
Yeah.
So it's not just this one thing that Kristen has in her back pocket. She's got a litany of things, and she is ready to air it.
Yeah, and then they show the flashback, by the way, after the party where Kristen's sitting with Zach and going, I know the shit Janet said about Michelle Lolly. Am I wrong? And Zach goes, you're not wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, so Zach, I'm like, what are you doing, Zach? Like, I'm confused by this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This next scene. We go to Jesse and Michelle's house, and they're having their marriage counselor over, Scott, to discuss things. And apparently, like, they did, like, one, like, Zoom call with him, and this is their first, like, in-person meeting. This therapy session was great. Not in terms of maybe success, but in terms of just, like, Scott is a great fucking marriage counselor.
And he's good to look at. And he's got that rugged, like, and then the fact that he's, like, comfortable in sitting in what is considered maybe a quote-unquote feminine way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and it's just with the string of like terrible therapists and marriage counselors on Bravo, like we've had a ton of bad ones as of late. He was like a breath of fucking fresh air because everything I was like, yeah, you're so on point. You're so on point with this whole thing.
And then it just anybody that's reading Jesse for filth, they're good in my book.
Yeah. Scott goes, so how are we functioning together? And Jesse goes, and it's just like awkward fucking silence, which is never fucking good. Scott goes, is there anything you want to revisit? Jesse goes, like, here's the thing. It's just like constant conflict with us all the time. And then they show a fucking flashback to an example of this where Michelle made Jesse coffee, but there was too much milk in the coffee. And Jesse was actively complaining incessantly about there being too much milk in the coffee. He literally at one point goes, I mean, Michelle, like I have to pour it out. Like it's so much milk. It was, these are the things where I'm just like, ooh, I don't.
Then make it yourself, you ungrateful piece of shit.
Yeah, it's just like, like when you're fighting about stuff like that, it's just like, ooh, it's not even just like infidelity or it's just like those things.
Everything. Ugh. Yeah.
Scott goes to Michelle, what are your needs in this relationship that aren't being met? And Michelle goes, I mean, a lot of needs are not being met. I feel lonely. I felt lonely for a very long time. I get frustrated because he doesn't understand how I feel. I'm no longer affectionate and he's not either. Scott like defines it for her and goes, you're not getting tenderness, basically.
Yeah.
Which I think that's what it's not like. There's no lovingness between them. Like, you know what I mean?
No.
Michelle goes, it's actually the opposite. Like, I think he's hard on me no matter what I do. Nothing is enough. She also exclaims, and I thought this was very illuminating from what I mentioned before about Jesse. She goes, he's very OCD about the house. He never wanted the house to look like we've had kids in it. And I'm like, he never wanted Isabella. I'm really thinking he never wanted to have a kid.
Yep.
Like, Michelle says he wanted two at one point, I think like a couple episodes ago. But I don't, maybe he vocalized that, but I really think he doesn't really want to be a dad.
Here's the thing. I think he wanted kids because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
And because that is on his checklist of success.
Mm-hmm. He's got the house. He's got the job.
He's got the wife. He's got the kids.
Yeah.
Right? He's got it all. He never wanted the reality of any of that.
I agree.
He didn't want the reality of cleaning up after kids or teaching them anything or actually raising a child. He didn't want the realities of actually having to tend to another human being and nurture a relationship with their wife.
Yeah.
He didn't want a house that you actually have to clean. He wanted the image. He wanted a picture-perfect image, but that requires attention and care and effort and all of these things to maintain that.
Yeah.
And he didn't want any of that.
Michelle even goes as far as to say it's more brother and sister than husband and wife.
That's rough.
It's
one thing for Jax and Kristen to say that because they fucked once many years ago. You know, like they're brother and sister
but
now.
They're in it.
But they're actively married with a child.
Yeah, that's wild. This is where I melted over Scott, the therapist. Jesse goes, so everything she's saying, like, I'm trying to figure out examples of how to, like, he's trying to, like, counter the points. And Scott stops him and goes, don't lawyer. Just sit with what you heard. Which it was, I was like, ooh.
Emotionally intelligent. Ooh, Scott's, we love that.
Scott's like, she's walking on eggshells. Everything has to be your way. Is what she's saying. Jesse then goes, you know, it's hard to see her upset. He says this in his confessional. It's hard to see her upset. I wonder if I was the best, most passive husband. The way he used passive was weird. The most passive husband and father. Would it have actually made a difference? I don't know. So he's like, basically downplaying anything Michelle said. Like saying like.
Well, he's saying that if he gave. The thing is that he is now saying, well, if I let her have her way on anything, I'm this passive beta male.
Yeah. Again, not a Republican.
No, not a Republican at all. You know, the alpha version of something is like the first iteration, and it's usually full of fucked up shit, right? Yeah. You want the later versions of a software implication. Just saying.
Yeah. Jesse then starts to say like, for example, like I did this like no drink fasting like for 5 days and I lost like 12 pounds. It's the first time she's given me a compliment, I think, like before we were married. And then Michelle goes, I mean, I can say the same exact thing about you. And not only do you not give me a compliment ever in your life, if I ever ask you, you just look at me and be like, that's fine. Like, so, and it's also fascinating because there's parallels with Tom and Ariana.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy that it's like, because Ariana talked about having to, like, actually, like, pry out compliments from him about, like, yep. You know, her features and, like, how sexy she was. And so, like.
Thank God Ariana never had his children.
Yeah. Scott then asks Michelle, when's the last time you felt sexually attracted to him? And Michelle goes, don't ask me that question. Smiling. I don't want to answer that. And Jesse goes, 3 years and 9 months ago, meaning how old their daughter is.
Wow.
That's like, you know what I mean? Just like, it's just, who, man. The way Jesse is confessing goes, what is sex again? Oh, yeah, I watched Pornhub like the other day. Again, like Sandoval. Remember, I had a jerk off in the bathroom. Like,
so? And? Yeah.
He goes, when I first met Michelle, it's like, hey, I'm at the office. She's like, cool, I'm naked in front of the mirror. What are you doing now? I'm like, I'm in the car. And then it turns into, I'm too tired. I haven't brushed my teeth. And so, again, so of course his issue is sex, right? Of course his issue is like, she doesn't have sex with me enough. But then, like, again, like with Tom and Ariana, that's also a you problem because she can't, like most women, like most humans, you need to feel emotional with a person to have sex with them.
Newsflash. Dick for brains. She's not your fleshlight.
Right.
She's not your sex toy that you get to fuck whenever you want. If you need to get off, get off. That's fine. But like, you should be intimate with your wife because you want to be intimate with your wife. Not because it has to do with you getting off. It should have to do with building a connection and building a relationship and all of those things with your wife. It should be about her, not about you.
Yeah. And it can be about you when you make it about her, right? You
know, right, I mean? Exactly. Because she will make it about you because you are making it about her.
Yeah.
That's what a loving relationship between two loving, consenting adults is.
Like, look at Danny and Nia. Like,
right.
Okay. This is the point. This point is where Jesse, I think, ends his marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he does something that I think takes it from a point of no return to me. Because Scott is trying to explain, like, the whole, like, the thing of, like, she needs compliments to feel sexy and stuff like that. Jesse then goes, let's say I only say the positives and I say like, oh, you look beautiful today. I love that dress on you. Oh, this. Is there a point where like, okay, I've been a great guy now for 2 months and you're still not treating me well? And Scott goes, your attachment to the result is going to cause you to fail. You do it because you want to do it, not to get something out of her. If you're trying to get something out of her, she's going to sniff that out. And Michelle even goes like, yeah, because it's not genuine. And I'm like, that's how you ended your marriage. I don't know how you come back for that.
Because now everything, every time that, even if
he tries to fix it correctly, Michelle's going to be like, well, is he saying this because he believes it? Or is
right. Because now you've gone from calling her your sex toy to calling her a vending machine.
Right.
Where you put in quarters to get a candy bar.
And here's the frustrating thing. He could have saved this marriage simply if he had said this in a private session with Scott without Michelle right next to him. Scott could teach him that's not, you need to do it because you mean it, not because this.
Right.
And then maybe he could fix it. But the fact that he said that right in front of fucking Michelle.
Right. Well, and the thing is there is probably a way to word this that wouldn't have wrecked everything, right? Like, he could have easily gone, well, I want to make a difference here. I want to make effort and I want her to feel good, but how long is it going to take for her to believe me? Because
right,
I don't
that's
want
so much better.
I don't want her to live in this anymore. Yeah. I don't want her to feel like she has to question everything that I say. That's so much better, because then it is about her. It's about how she's feeling. It's about how she's receiving, because that's what he still doesn't fucking get. It's not about him.
Yeah.
He should be in this marriage for her. And focused on her. And she will in turn focus on him.
Right. We then go to Janet and Jason at their house. Also, speaking of great couples, these two, I love them.
Oh,
I love them so much.
Oh, so good.
Janet walks in and goes, look, I'm very much craving McDonald's. Like, do you want anything? And Jason does the, like, we have food in the fridge. And Janet's like, he's saying McDonald's.
Pointing at the baby.
Also, I realize I'm the Janet in the relationship because I do this with you all the time and I don't have the excuse of pregnancy. They go into the nursery because they're having the nursery is so cluttered right now and they're having to clear it out and stuff like that. And I love Jason's just like, we don't have to get the nursery ready in order to have this baby. But I know for you, and you need that.
She just kind of like turns her head like she's about to glare at him over her shoulder, and then he goes, but right. We will do it.
He saved it in the end.
Yeah.
And also there was just something about him in, because he's I guess on a work call or whatever, where he's wearing this like dress shirt and like tie, where I'm just like, I don't know why, but it's just like, fuck, you're hot. Like,
well, I mean, in the next scene he's wearing like just a t-shirt, but it's like just tight enough across his biceps where it's like, oh boy, what is that? Yeah. I've never been a muscle person before, but like,
yeah, it was something specifically about the dress shirt and tie where it's just like, oh wow, he is like a man amongst boys on this show.
Honestly.
You know what I mean? This is a man.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I didn't show you on the after show. He was also, because they have the Valley people on the Vanderpump after show right now, but it's all about Vanderpump still. He was it was so sexy, him being just like, Sandoval did something really fucking terrible to Ariana, and she has a right to feel the way she feels and to not want to be around him.
It is so,
I was like, oh my God, you get it, and you have a dick.
It
like,
is so depressing how low the bar is for straight men.
Yeah.
It is so not difficult to empathize. And most of y'all still do not clear that bar. I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
Yeah. Janet's telling him about like all the Kristen stuff. She goes like, with Kristen, I'm confused. And also today, look at what she posted on her Instagram story. And Kristen posted a meme that said, I would rather adjust my life to your absence than adjust my boundaries to accommodate your disrespect. And they're like, who's she talking about? I remember people at the time thought she was talking about Stassi.
But also like, people just post shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like sometimes it's just like, this looked cool, I'm going to post it.
Exactly.
Janet goes, you threw me, Michelle, Zach, and Jasmine under the bus all in one swoop. I said something small and Kristen made it so big. And now we find out, Janet tells us in their confessional what it actually was that happened. She goes, Michelle, Brittany, and I were at a dinner a few months ago. And Michelle said something along the lines of, don't say gay bills protect children. And she's like, and I was like, no, like, you're wrong. You're wrong on that. And I was like, oh, okay. So there was something like there was like something, right?
So then Janet said, I'm going to take this to Jasmine because Jasmine is a lesbian.
Well, bisexual.
Bisexual, and she's in a relationship with a woman. So, like, she needs to be aware that this could be an issue.
Well, she says, I said to Jasmine, who I guess said to Zach, we were talking about this bill, and I think she might support it. I don't know. But since it's related to the LGBT community, if you happen to hear her talking about it and sense the same thing that I did, it might be a teachable moment.
Right.
Because like Jasmine being a bisexual, being someone who's like very smart in terms of politics,
right,
and sort of all that stuff, could explain to Michelle, hey, this isn't really what you think, et cetera, right, et cetera. And because Janet goes, I never once thought Michelle was racist. I wouldn't be her friend if I did. I thought she maybe got swept into an algorithm that was teaching her some things that aren't true.
Or she, you know, looked at her husband's algorithm.
Maybe. But, I kind of was like, okay, that's kind of a benefit of the doubt. Because even putting the he's a Republican, clearly, thing to the side, there is a trend of like sometimes people get sucked into an algorithm thing,
right?
I know there was a big thing with like particularly like if you're like a mom and you're into like mommy stuff on like
right
Instagram, like people were getting into sex trafficking stuff that linked to QAnon.
Yeah,
and that was like a direct pipeline.
Yeah,
so it's not impossible for that to be what it was. Right
Well, so okay, here's my theory of what happened. Janet took it to Jasmine and said, hey, listen out for these things.
Yeah.
Then Jasmine took it to Zach saying, hey, you're also a queer person in this friend group.
Right.
You should also be aware of this. You know, like she's, you know, got some skewed beliefs that are kind of right wing and like all of the. So that's kind of where I think it got swapped. The Republican starts. And then I think Zach said, oh, well, you're a black woman, so this has to be about race.
That's an interesting thing, because I think what happened was when the Jasmine and Zach thing, he confused that it was a gay thing to it was a race thing.
Right. I don't think Jasmine was specific about it being don't say gay. I think she was taking it to Zach because it was don't say gay, but didn't specify that it was don't say gay. And so Zach went, oh, was she saying some racist shit?
Yeah.
And didn't confirm it at all. Just assumed because Jasmine is black, it must have been a racist thing.
Right. I was thinking that as well.
And then so Zach took that to Kristen and said, well, you know, they were talking about how she might be racist and she's a Republican and she's like going all on these right wing rants and stuff out on dinner, and like, so we've got to be really careful around her. That's what I think happened, and I don't think that Kristen twisted a damn thing. I think that is exactly what Zach brought to her.
I don't think Kristen twisted anything. I think they're misinterpreting that Kristen twisted something. I think Kristen is saying exactly what Zach told her. I just think when I say there's fault in Kristen, I'm saying the intention of what she's doing and the way in which she's doing it.
Correct. Also, this is what I made a tweet about. Bigots are bigots.
Right. Say this part.
Republican thing aside, there is a tendency for right-wing politics to also coincide with bigotry. Fine. That we're putting that aside, though, right? We're just talking about the bigotry because there are people on the left who are also fucking bigots.
Very true.
Okay, bigotry is bigotry. If you come to me and say something homophobic or transphobic, I also do not trust you to not be racist. I don't trust you to not be xenophobic. I don't trust you to not be ableist.
Yeah.
I don't trust you to not be classist. I don't trust you to not be any of these other things, because all of our struggles
are linked. Yeah.
There is no freedom unless we are all free. You don't get to eradicate one thing and then all of these other things still exist, because it's all tied back to white supremacy.
Right.
Every last bit of it is all tied back to purity. And that is a tenet of white supremacy. So whether it is shitting on someone because they're poor, or shitting on someone because they have a disability, or shitting on someone because of the color of their skin, or shitting on someone because of who they love or how they identify, that's all different threads in the same fucking cloth.
No, I totally agree with that.
So, like, I don't care if she was talking about don't say gay or not. She's a bigot.
Well, yeah.
If that is something that she still believes in,
yeah, and if
then
it wasn't,
that makes her a bigot, and that means that none of us are safe in her space.
Right. It's like, and that's the thing of just like if Janet saying in truth that it was a teachable thing,
right?
That's the bigger question, I feel, right, to me, that it was just like a thing that it was misinformed or whatever.
And from what I've seen of Michelle on the show,
I don't dislike Michelle.
I like Michelle on the show. I think that this could very well just be she is in Jesse's orbit. Because Jesse very much seems like he ardently believes that shit.
Yeah.
It feels like maybe she got down some wrong pipelines.
Probably. Everyone's getting ready for Jesse and Michelle's dinner, their Capri-themed dinner. Didn't this motherfucker also just say, like, two episodes ago he hated themes?
Uh-huh.
I guess when it's, like, poorer themes. Like, uh-huh. When it's not, like, at a fucking $18 million house or whatever, which that house was gorgeous. I'm sorry.
It's stupid gorgeous.
Really great. He's telling Michelle, because they're going over, like, how much alcohol they need or whatever. He goes, it's an important night for me. We're doing Capri theme. Sophisticated. Michelle goes, stop saying sophisticated. You can have a sophisticated party without having to say sophisticated.
In fact, you saying it's sophisticated cheapens it.
Yeah. It's they're all starting to arrive. Jasmine brings her girlfriend, Melissa, who they've been dating for about 3 years. And this is where Jasmine talks about. She's like, I consider myself fluid. If you have to put a title to it, it would be bisexual.
Right.
So, you know, good to have more, you know, in the community.
We love more queer representation on our screens.
Yeah. People start arriving and mingling, like, by the pool area. Zach is so upset that he had to wear linen. Because I guess linen is a Capri thing? I don't know. Like,
yeah, because the reason it is because it's a lighter fabric. So suits in the Mediterranean type areas are typically made of a lighter fabric like that. You'll also see an echo of that in, like, Central America, Panama, things like that, or areas like that, will lots of linen suits.
Right. Luke and Kristen are in the car, and Luke goes, you know, I'm really just hoping for peace and a nice, fun dinner with everybody. And I'm like, oh, you sweet baby.
Oh, no.
You sweet, innocent baby.
No, that's not how this is working.
Kristen talks about wanting to have a conversation with Michelle to apologize. And so when she gets there, she says hi to Jesse and says, like, is your wife here or whatever, and goes straight to Michelle to try to give an apology. Kristen goes, look, I just want to talk whenever. And Michelle's like, maybe, like, in a minute. Like, I don't want to talk right now.
Yeah.
Kristen hugs her and goes, I'm sorry. You know that, right? I was like, oh, Kristen, don't say that like that. I don't think Kristen fully comprehended how upset people were.
Yeah, I think Kristen was more like saying, I hope you know this was a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And not me trying to come for you. Which I don't think is true. I think you were trying to come for her. But I think you had valid reasons.
Well, at the very least, you were coming for Janet.
Yeah.
And Janet's so pissed that, like, she doesn't, it's very obvious that Kristen does not think she needs to apologize to Janet. So Janet's like, where the fuck is my conversation? Basically.
Well,
you're the one accusing me of, like,
I clearly don't think that Kristen really gives a shit about Janet at this point.
It seems like that, yeah.
I don't think there's love lost there.
They all grab food to sit down for dinner. Jack's going, this is a little different than California Pizza Kitchen. This is where I'm talking about. And then the way Brittany goes, oh.
Which is sad because I still consider California Pizza Kitchen kind of expensive for what it is.
Sure. Janet, yeah. Janet goes, whispers to Brittany, I don't think she realizes how seriously mad I am. And Brittany goes, I told her. And Janet goes, unbelievable. And like, so they're just like kind of whispering together. Michelle goes, it's one thing to have a conversation with someone and another thing to actually listen, talking about Kristen. And Janet goes, but look, she's 40 years old. She should know by now. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
They're just kind of, and Kristen is already like hearing this, I think, a little bit and like trying to like dip her toe in the water. She goes, does this feel inappropriate at a dinner table? Like, should we talk about this?
But it does kind of. It always irks me when one person goes, she's 40. She should know better by now. And then 3 seconds later does something really fucking immature, like screaming across a dinner table. Yeah. Like,
well, Janet was not the worst offender here.
No, that would be Jesse.
Yeah. So Kristen kind of introduced it. So Janet goes, to be honest, I missed the last time everyone was together, but a lot happened and personally would like to know what's going on. And Michelle's like, I mean, everyone's involved, so we might as well just speak publicly because I'm tired of like the she said, basically. So like, I thought it was a good excuse of just like, this is why we're airing it out at this fucking nice dinner with everyone here. Janet goes, Kristen decided at Michelle's to say that I said that Michelle was racist, which I have never thought in my life, let alone said that out loud. And I don't know where it came from, but I'm disgusted by it. And Kristen goes, it came from Zach. And Zach pulls his like, he does. It's like Zach is pulling chipmunk face this entire fucking dinner.
Like as awful as Jesse gets during this argument. And number one, clearly the worst villain, right?
Yeah.
Zach, I think, is number two here.
He found his light and was like, I can do this for the trailer and this for the trailer.
But he's like clearly the person who did all of this and he's getting away scot-free.
Yeah. Zach goes, it did not come from me. It's like, oh, why? Like, that is like, there I'm like, okay, Zach, go fuck yourself. Like, Zach said, oh my God. This was also.
This is why I was mad at Brittany. Because Brittany
should have said something.
Brittany should have said something because she knew it came from him.
Right. Oh my God. Zach in this confessional, talk about just, like, we talk about him, like, doing too much a little bit and doing the whole, like, this was so wild to me. He goes, Kristen got all of this completely mixed up. You want to talk about a shit stew? There was no recipe, honey. She was just grabbing numbers out like they were the fucking Powerball. That is such a mixed metaphor.
So many different things.
It's like, pick a metaphor.
What are you trying to say?
It's like him basically saying, she was picking apples from the tree and then putting them in the dumpster.
What?
What are you talking? Like, this doesn't mean anything.
Oh God.
Oh man. Kristen tries to explain. The game of telephone was from Janet to Jasmine to Zach to me and Luke that you were telling Jasmine that she should be cautious of Michelle because she's a quote unquote Republican. And what Zach insinuated at my house to Luke and I was that would equal racism and or homophobia. So
that seems very clear to me what happened.
Right. But that's also saying that someone other than Zach said the Republican thing. Either Janet or Jasmine said the Republican thing. And that Zach is then taking the Republican thing to mean she is racist or homophobic. Which I think is off.
Right.
If I think it's more what you said.
If she's bothering to put quotations on the word Republican, then that means that is what came out of Zach's mouth and I trust her because she's not even saying that this was a private conversation. Luke was in this conversation too.
Right. Yeah. So Luke can attest to it. Yeah.
And say what you will about Kristen, I feel like Luke is on the up and up.
There is a part where I feel bad for Kristen at this dinner where it's just they all believe Kristen's just lying about the whole thing. And I'm like, that's not what's happening.
And say what you will about Kristen.
She rarely lies.
Does she sometimes get things wrong because she didn't understand fully? Yes. I don't believe that's the case.
Does she dig her own hole sometimes? Yes.
Absolutely. Is she messy as fuck? Abso-fucking-lutely. But she's not usually wrong.
Exhibit A, Miami girl.
Yep.
Which we now know is true. She goes, what I want to immediately apologize to Michelle for is I felt cornered. And then Zach is like sipping his drink like, it ain't good. Like he's, oh my God, so many faces. She goes, I should not have ever said those things out loud, especially at your home. Like, I still didn't love the I felt cornered thing, which is like, okay.
Yeah, sure.
Jesse then goes, because Jesse's been just stewing and building, because Michelle's offended.
He's offended by the use of Republican as a slur.
Because he knows he is.
Because he knows he's nasty.
Jesse goes, and Jesse is like really menacing when he does this.
It's disgusting.
He goes, why don't you say what you did and you lied? Call it a lie and don't call it anything else. And Kristen goes, I did not lie. Luke then goes, calm down. And Jesse goes, excuse me? Luke goes, calm down. Luke, I'm sorry, Luke's hot. I love Luke. I love Luke that was just like, Jesse, you are not going to try to fucking intimidate her right now because it's exactly what you're trying to do.
Again. The bar is under the ground that all it takes to look at a man and go, this is fucking hot, is to see a man supporting his partner.
Yeah. Luke says in his confessional, this literal sack of shit twisted Kristen's nipple and now he keeps attacking her. He wasn't there. He doesn't even know what the fuck he's talking about. That's strike two. And I love that. I realized the nipple thing is like totally like by the wayside now because of this, which is kind of, again, on Kristen's part, but like,
yeah.
Jesse goes, you don't tell me to calm down. Luke goes, you're getting too aggressive. Jesse goes, shut the fuck up. And then Luke goes, you want to talk to me like that? We can go. And I was like, ooh, like, he's just like, but it's also a matter of just like, where Luke is not tuned into reality TV completely.
Right.
Where it's just like, this is like, yeah, you're going to fucking yell at me. I'm going to fucking go, motherfucker. Jesse goes, tells Kristen, you walked into my house. And Kristen goes, all I'm doing is, and then Jesse goes, shut the fuck up to Kristen. And then Luke goes, you shut the fuck up, Jesse, and gets up like he's going to fight him.
I would like to see it.
Yeah. It's
because I think Luke would kill his ass.
They dissipate a little. Michelle goes, she's not saying the truth. Nia jumps in and goes, how do you know? It's a game of telephone, so things get lost in translation. I'm glad that Nia stuck up for Kristen a little bit, objectively. Nia says in her confessional, I feel like Kristen tried to apologize, but nobody was listening to her. She couldn't do anything right. And that I agree with. I think like it got to a point where it was just a little badgering on Kristen in a way that seemed unrational to me.
Yeah.
Janet goes, well, it changed everything. I don't trust a word that comes out of your mouth now. And Kristen goes, I didn't make this up. Janet goes, I am done with crazy Kristen. And Kristen goes, oh, that's cute. Like bringing up the crazy Kristen thing again. But
it was a low blow, I think. And it was a low blow in order to discredit her. And it's really fucking frustrating. And I love Janet, but it's really fucking frustrating for her to bring that shit up, knowing that this had a kernel of truth in it, knowing that this came from that conversation.
Yeah, that's why
you're not stupid. You know where this came from.
That's where I will fault Janet, where I'm just like, I don't know why Janet doesn't believe it was a game of telephone.
Because Janet's acting like there was never a conversation. She never said anything to Jasmine that was brought to, like,
well, what? Because I think what it is, when Janet calls, well, when Michelle calls Janet in the first scene, I truly believe Janet doesn't know what the fuck even is.
No, I think so too. Because
it's just like, they say you call me a racist. I never used the term racist. What the hell? Like, no, I never
called you a racist. I never called you a Republican.
And I think it wasn't until later that she figured out that it was spawned from this.
But she should have known at this table, because Kristen specifically laid it out. She said, you told her, told him, told me.
Yeah.
So she should have been able to backtrack that and go, oh, this is from the Don't Say Gay thing.
Right.
Just, she should have known.
They're just very convinced that Kristen is a liar.
Right. But the thing is that Janet doesn't want to believe anything that Kristen says, because as much as Kristen doesn't like Janet right now, Janet also does not like Kristen,
yeah,
and therefore will not have any credence to anything that comes out of her mouth.
And I wonder how much the Alex thing plays into it. It seems like somewhat. So
yeah.
Kristen says her confessional, given my past, I'm a pretty easy target. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
And I think, yes, I think Kristen also makes herself a little bit of a target at times.
Sure.
Kristen then calls herself a walking truth serum and says, it might rub some people the wrong way, but here I am. Take it or leave it. It's like, oh my God, Kristen.
You know what? She doesn't hide behind shit. And she doesn't make excuses. And that's one thing that I've always loved about Kristen, is that she's messy as fuck and can be a little crazy at times. But she will own it. She will always stand in the spotlight and say, here it is.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it.
Sure. Janet goes, if you thought that I thought that Michelle was racist, why wouldn't you call me? And Jason's like, yeah, why wouldn't that? Like, sticking up for Janet. And Kristen goes, well, Zach, I wish you hadn't brought it to my front door to make Janet look bad. And Janet goes, I don't think he did. Which I don't think he did to make her, Janet, look bad necessarily. I also think, like, Kristen being like, you brought it to my door to make Janet look bad. I think Kristen wants to make Janet look bad in a way that Zach does not. And I think that's kind of manipulative.
Maybe, but also Zach knows the history.
Sure.
And knows that if he brings this to Kristen, it's going to make, in Kristen's eyes, Janet look bad.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
That,
like, he knew what he was
knowledge.
Doing. I think he planted the, I think the orchestrator of this fight is Zach.
Michelle goes, you know what the problem is? You know what the problem, but everyone's like cross, like a bunch of people are cross talking. Jesse then slams his hand on the table and goes, everybody shut the fuck up. Michelle's going to talk.
Ew.
Like this, but this was, it was like the opposite of the Luke being hot.
Right.
This was like, oh, this is aggressive and gross. Like, I don't like this.
I don't like this at all.
But it's like, okay, he's letting Michelle talk or whatever. Michelle goes, Zach and Janet say they did not say that. Everybody at this table would not be my friend if they thought that. Kristen goes, I don't think that, Michelle. Zach, this is where Zach says in his confessional about, like, the, if you call someone a Republican in LA, that's like a death sentence. That's a social suicide. You better be on the DL because you aren't getting invited to anything. Like, talking about it like you're in the closet. It's like, Jesus Christ. Jesse then goes, you disrespected my family name. We have a business. He only cares about the business, by the way.
Yeah.
We have a business that we run together. If something like that gets out, you're ruining lives. Michelle goes, not only that. And then Jesse puts up his hand to Michelle's face and goes, Michelle, please.
And it was fast enough that it almost looked like he was going to slap her.
And Zach's face was, Zach was like, whoa, what the fuck?
I went cold,
yeah,
when this happened.
And it's just so crazy. Like, everybody shut the fuck up and let Michelle talk. And then he doesn't let Michelle talk. It's like,
this was beyond the pale for me. Like, I thought, you know, the way he talked about her and to her in the therapy session, it was gross. It was awful. I hated it. The way he pounded on the table and, you know, all of that. Everything leading up to this, awful.
Yeah.
Hate this guy. But that was scary.
Yeah, that was really scary.
Like, that was one of those ice in your veins type moments.
But that's also the thing of, like, it shows that this whole, like, he doesn't care about Michelle in this argument, because it's not about, oh my God, you called my wife racist. It's that you might have made me, called me racist and a Republican, and I might lose business because of it. It's like, that's all he cares about.
Yeah.
That's really all he cares about. And then so he decides to just drop this bomb. He goes to Kristen, you were thrown off the fucking show for being an actual racist. Kristen goes, what the fuck did you just call me? And this is where Kristen talks about, like, the faith stuff in the confessional.
Right.
This is where I was like, okay. Kristen goes, I know I made a mistake by roping Michelle into something that didn't have to do with her, but Jesse is just trying to ruin my name by bringing up the most painful thing I've ever gone through. I understand why Michelle is upset. It's the worst thing in the world to be labeled as anything, let alone a racist. And nobody knows better than me because it happened to me and I was canceled.
Okay, Christine.
I was like, all right. Okay.
Again, this is where I get frustrated because why is the label worse than being the thing?
Yeah. And I also,
why are you more offended that people might think you're a racist than the fact that you might have been racist and hurt someone?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I got annoyed by was like they don't really talk about what the thing was. Because it just shows a headline that says, Kristen Doty fired over racist comments. And I'm like,
was it racist comments or was it the fact that they called the police on Faith?
Like, and tried to tell them, hey, this woman who's like on a most wanted thing, this, we know this person, when it was a completely different black woman.
Yeah.
And like, she could have died. So like she could have,
yeah,
literally died.
She could have been right there on the list next to, you know, like Sandra Bland and all of these names that we know. Like,
so it just like the show putting it as like racist comments. I was like, what are we doing?
Well, but that was a headline that they were showing.
Yeah, I don't know from where, but
I don't either because they didn't credit it. But it's like, but again, Kristen has made amends seemingly with Faith. And it is not up to this privileged ass white man.
Yeah, Jesse has nowhere to fucking talk. I'm sorry.
To be more angry about this than the actual victim of Kristen's actions.
Yeah, I agree.
And also, not just Kristen, Jax was involved in this too.
That's the thing. That's the thing. We see in the preview later, it seems like Jax like sticks up for Kristen at a certain point in the dinner. And you were like,
it's like, you need to lay low. You've been lay low.
Like, no, because he's like, oh God, I'm going to get rubbed in this too.
Because Jax should have just like faded away into the background, like Homer Simpson into
yes,
that shrub. Like
that.
Just let's not remind anyone that I may have actually also been involved in that.
No, Kristen says she made mistakes,
and the fact that this was all done not at Brittany's behest, but in her,
yeah,
in defense of her. So Brittany should probably maybe back out of this too. Like,
yeah. Kristen goes, people finally gave me a chance and now it's brought up all over again and I have to relive it all over again. And then it's just like, da-na, dramatic music cuts to like Kristen, cuts to Jesse staring, cuts to Zach pulling the most outrageous fucking face imaginable. Like cut to, it was so great and dramatic and stupid and I loved it.
Yeah.
Valley's great. It's a fucking great show.
It's so stupid. The thing is
it's really stupid.
It's low stakes shit that is treated like high stakes shit. And it's just such a nice departure from the actual like dark things that we're dealing with on other shows on Bravo right now. It's like, this is just stupid. This is just fun. Like I just get to laugh at idiots all day and this is great. Like it's what I love about reality television. It's messy with no consequences. Fully. I'm here for it. All right, let's get into these tops and bottoms. We've got Vanderpump Villa episodes 1, 2, and 3. We've got Vanderpump Rules and we've got The Valley. What you thinking, babe?
My bottom is definitely coming from The Valley and that's going to be Jesse. Jesse was problematic as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
This episode. Just and like the therapy session, the like, even though I know it's a little bit like cursing in front of the kid, like all.
Yeah.
And then like that dinner was just utterly insane to me. Like the energy was like too much. I mean, it was, I agree with you. It got scary.
Yeah.
And so like, yeah, I'm glad at the very least, Michelle, whether she's a Republican or racist or homophobic or whatever, she is out of his life. And I think that's very
good.
Necessary. So yeah, it would be Jesse. My top, I am going to give it to Ariana. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like I can't see her get fucking torn apart like she's been torn apart. Just like poked at and poked at and poked at and then act as though her response is anything other than justified. It's just like I can't do it. It's like,
yeah,
you know, I'm rooting her on to the very fucking end. I just really think that she has done the best she can in the situation that she is in. And like, I really just think that people need to lay the fuck off of her and, like, really just sort of be like, you know what? Sandoval's the fucking dick. It's so very clear. It's so very obvious. Just fucking move in that way because it's the way normal people should move.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. So that's my top and bottom. What about you, babe? What are you thinking?
I think I'm going to go with Vanderpump Villa for everything.
Okay.
I'm going to split my bottom. Between Eric and
Don't
Marciano, right down the middle, between Eric and Marciano, because fuck both of these men, right?
So toxic.
So Eric is toxic professionally, personally, yes, but also mostly professionally. Like, he's undermining Lisa every chance he gets. He's trying to, like, get Steven into trouble when all Steven has done is exist while gay.
Right.
And fabulous. And it's just, it's really toxic, and it's reading as, like you said earlier, there's a ticky ticky boom boom going on, and it's gonna explode. I give it to episode 5. Just mark my words, it'll be episode 5. Marciano is more toxic in a personal way.
Yeah.
Like the way he has Hannah, like, seemingly wrapped around his finger, but also treats her like trash.
Yeah.
She's not a much better person. She was my other person I was considering for bottom because she's not great. But, like, she seems to be more, a result of Marciano. And then just the way Marciano went off on Caroline and over a fucking croissant.
The croissant fight, I'm still mad about. I'm just
It was so fucking stupid. Like, for him to get that heated over toasted pastries is ridiculous. Like, and it wasn't even his pastry.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like she burned his pastry. It was her pastry. Get over it.
Yeah.
So just both of those guys, fuck them. Fuck right off. My top for the week is also going to be from Vanderpump Villa, and that is going to be Telly. Do I think she was right to escalate the argument between her and Marciano by putting her hands on him? No. But I also think that she was triggered. She was put in a dangerous situation in which she had a man standing over her, and she reacted in the way that she felt she needed in order to keep herself safe.
100%.
And then when she was checked on it by Lisa, she accepted that she had done wrong. She grew. She's moved forward. Like, this is how people should move. When they mess up and they are told that they messed up, they then learn from it.
Yeah.
And move forward. It's not that difficult to be a mature adult. It really isn't. And it's just, it takes an ounce of humility. And I really liked seeing that from her. And I wish, you know, more people on reality television would exhibit that. But then reality television wouldn't be nearly as interesting. Oh, we need the mess.
The tangled web.
As Wendy Williams once said, we watch for the ratchet. Hey, thanks for tuning into this episode of A Gay and His Envy.
Join us next time for more of our recaps and hot takes. And be sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you are listening. And check us out on our social media at A Gay and His Envy on all the platforms.
A special shout out to Shane Ivers, who wrote Pulsar, the song we use for our theme.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin. And we're out.
This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com.